Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. This week's guests include Purdue Sports Network play-by-play man Tim Newton, Heritage Hills basketball coach Matt Sisley, Indy Hoops correspondent Don Schulteis, CBS.com bracketologist Jerry Palm, and DC Broadcasting Sports Director Kurt Kuchsel. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schulteis.
Hello and welcome to this after Christmas edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by Ken Coach K Schulteis. Coach, was Santa good to you, or did he bring you coal?
Joe, Santa was great to me, and I really do. I am sorry about all the coal that you got, not only from your wife and your kids and in-laws, but the coal that came in from different listeners around the country. And we didn't get any from around the world yet, but I think it's important to let our listeners know that we do have people listening, not only in the United States, continental United States, but also abroad, Brazil, Kuwait, different places around the world. So the Coach K and Joe Show is a worldwide phenomenon.
Yes, we are. And, someday hopefully we can get as popular as Kentucky basketball. Why do I say that? I found on eBay something that amazed me, because I guess the Kentucky fans are just some of the most rabid fans in the world. And someone is actually auctioning off Ed Davender's prison outfit autographed for only $750.
Oh, my gosh. And it's amazing that Kentucky fans, they have the money to do it. So, hey, God bless them, everyone. Hey, happy birthday to Kansas coach Bill Self. Turns 50 today. Joey's our age.
Oh, I didn't realize.
He's our age. I wonder if you could beat him one-on-one.
Oh, I definitely could.
Have you been enjoying the snow? You know, for the listeners who aren't in the Indiana or Midwest region, we had a heck of a snowstorm. It really wasn't that bad of a blizzard. It was more some wind and some snow, but we got some great snow. And last night I was out throwing snowballs with my kids, and this morning I picked up a few snowballs and threw them at our cars, not the neighbors' cars, because I don't want to make them mad. But it really was a great post-Christmas present as it hit after Christmas Day. And you know, with the kids being off school for Christmas break and the weather just being perfect for that, I know the kids have had a lot of fun. I'm sure, Joe, that you were out getting the paper and the neighborhood kids pelted you with snowballs with rocks in the middle.
I was just going to ask, did Scott get any good ones in on you?
Now, Scott, as soon as he threw about three at me, I started picking up big boulders and throwing them towards him, and he went into the fetal position behind the snow wall that his brother, older brother Josh and sister Paige made, and they were protecting themselves in the snow wall that had frozen overnight. So it was a good time. It was a good time for the kids. It's a great time for sports as well. We've got bowl games going on, Joe. We've got a ton of high school games going on today and through the weekend, a lot of tournaments in the state of Indiana. I know Bossy has a winter classic going on at Bossy High School, which is just a block out my back door. And Bossy with Jaquan Lyle, listen to these stats in his last six games. Jaquan Lyle, who's one of the top juniors in the nation, goes to Evansville, Bossy in Evansville, Indiana. He's averaging over 30 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists over the last six games. They take on the number one ranked team in the state of Ohio today. Evansville Harrison, who also is undefeated, has the Duncan triplets. They're not triplets. It's a trio of twins who are sophomores, and then their older brother, who's a junior. They'll play a team from Ohio, and there'll be a couple other games that are going on. North High School plays an out-of-state team, and then there's another local team playing as well. So a lot of good hoops, high school boys hoops and girls hoops, going on in the state over the Christmas break period. You know, as we talk about the bowl games, we're going to be bringing on our first guest here in just a couple of minutes, Tim Newton, who is the play-by-play football man for Purdue Boilermakers. And folks, you know I'm not a big Purdue fan, but I am excited to have Tim on. He's also done play-by-play for Boiler girls, women's basketball, and they've had great programs through the years, great teams through the years. So that's going to be very interesting coming up. We've got Jerry Palm coming on after that, CBSSports.com. He's a bracketologist specialist as well as an expert on the BCS picture. And we know we're in the middle of bowl games. Western Kentucky lost a close one the other night after taking a chance and going for the win instead of a tie. Cincinnati came back and held on to beat Duke. And when I went to bed last night, Baylor was winning big, so I didn't see that final score. But we're right in the middle of everything. And, of course, on January 7th, we have the BCS Championship coming up with Alabama and Notre Dame. And last night I was with my wife and youngest son, and we were at a barbecue place here in Evansville called the Hickory Stop. And they are huge Alabama fans in there. And it was interesting because the waitress, she waited on us. She's a Notre Dame fan. So she looked at me and she said, how can these people be for Alabama and be against God's football team? So it was pretty interesting. She said that place will be hopping with both red and the beautiful shining gold of Notre Dame come January 7th. So a lot of exciting things coming on with the football BCS show going, and we've got college basketball. Steve Alford's team from New Mexico, big win at Cincinnati yesterday. It was a great game to watch, came down to the end. Cincinnati had several opportunities to in the last, I think, 12 or 14 seconds. And New Mexico, Cincinnati wasn't in the bonus system yet, or the bonus yet. And Alford's team did a nice job of letting 2 or 3 seconds click off that clock foul, 2 or 3 seconds click off that clock foul. And at the end, they forced Cincinnati into a difficult shot from the wing baseline area. It's tough angle to shoot it from. Got coming to block. Cincinnati got the rebound. Guy put it up. You could clearly see that the buzzer had gone off, but the ball actually did go in and would have given Cincinnati a win, but it was late. And New Mexico comes a long way to walk out of there with a big win. So that was a nice win for Steve Alford. And, of course, Steve Alford, we remember him not only as Indiana Hoosier, but a great Indiana high school player back in 1983. Him and Alford and James Blackman were top-notch players in the state of Indiana. And both of them have young sons on the high school level who are pretty darn good as well. Obviously, we know about James Blackman, who will be coming to Indiana, and then Steve Alford has a son who's also an outstanding player. Both of them are lighting it up as far as putting points on the board, just like their dads did back in the 80s. And the Indianapolis Star has a great article. So if you're interested, you might get on the Indy Star website if you don't get the newspaper, and check that article out, because that's big-time basketball with those two young men, and it brings back great memories, at least for me and other people who remember the 80s and the great high school basketball that went on in this state during that time. So much going on. A little bit later after the show, I will be going over to watch the Bossy High School Winter Classic and take in both the Harrison and Bossy games. And if the opportunity comes, I'll also take in the North High School game. Jasper, of course, will be playing at Central tonight. You look around the area in southern Indiana, there's a game going on. Northern Indiana, there's a game going on. Central Indiana, there's a game going on. And there's great high school basketball in the state of Indiana. Even though we can't boast the one-class system anymore, even though we are the multi-class system, we still have great basketball going on. And I think the talent level in Indiana has just really shot up. And, you know, we talked last week that the talent level in football, high school football, had really gone up, especially in the Indianapolis area. Well, the talent level in high school basketball is outstanding in the Indianapolis area, but it's also outstanding up north and in the south as well. And we'll give the people in Kentucky, our listeners in Kentucky, we'll give you the kudos because you still have the one-class system, and that makes you the tops when it comes to when you have a champion, you have a real champion. So we'll get ready to move on. We're going to have Tim Newton coming up next, Purdue's Boilermakers play-by-play man. You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Happy holidays, Coach K here, and from my family, Janet, Josh, Paige, and Scott, to your family, here's wishing you a very Merry Christmas, and yes, Christmas includes Christ. He's the reason for the season, and have a blessed new year.
You know, I haven't been on an actual field in almost 20 years.
I've never even been on a field. If I tried, the kids in my neighborhood would spit loogies on my forehead.
That's awful, Clark. Baseball's America's pastime. That's like saying you've never had apple pie. You've never had apple pie?
Well, my mom said it would give me diarrhea.
That's ridiculous. You have to try it at least once.
Diarrhea?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
On the left hash, this will be the final play of regulation. Schmidt to snap. Webster to hold. Snap is down. Kick is on the way. It's got the distance. It is good! It's good! The Boilermakers win! A 46-yard field goal on the last play of the game by Paul Griggs. And the postseason hopes are still alive. And
you've got inside for Purdue on first and 10 at their own 41. Marv in the shotgun. Marv fakes the handoff. Throws complete. This is Crosby right. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Still on his feet. 5. Driving for the end zone. Is he in? He's down at the 1-yard line.
Oh. A 60-yard pass from Robert Marv to Crosby right. Mark Murphy with the touchdown saving tackle.
And here at the 27-yard line, have three men in the backfield. As Marv rolls out, he's going to throw it back to Akeem Shavers. He's at the 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, midfield. One man to beat. 35, 30, 25. He's still on his feet at the 20, still on his feet at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, 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 Shavers. Unbelievable. 73 yards on the...
And we're joined by Purdue play-by-play man for their football team, Tim Newton. Tim, how's it going today?
Going just fine. How are you all today?
Going great. That last touchdown was so exciting, you had to give it three touchdowns, and I was pumping
The funny thing is we decided we would go the bucket day with the windows open in the press box. I always like to – I hate to close the windows because – I feel like I'm doing the game in a phone booth. Well, it was a little chilly, and by the time that touchdown rolled around, I didn't have much voice to start with. So the three touchdowns, that was the equivalent of one normal touchdown because I was working on fumes at that point. But it was a lot of fun, great finish to the season, and thanks to a couple of those clips that you heard, the Boilermakers are going bowling this Tuesday.
Well, Tim, this is Coach K, and I am I'm honest, I'm not a big Purdue fan. I'm an IU fan all the way, but listening to the replay of your call got me excited, I got to say that. It hurts that it was bucket calls, but I got to give you kudos. You do a great job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I have IU fans working with me here at Purdue, and as I tell everybody in life, it's all right. Everybody in life's entitled to at least one mistake, and so we forgive and forget and move on. But we got two great universities, two great state universities here in Indiana. I think sometimes that's underappreciated by the taxpayers of our great state, but both Purdue and Indiana are great academic institutions, and I think they add a lot to what's going on in our state and our region.
Absolutely, and I would say that you are as excited at the new era that is going to begin for Purdue football as IU fans are hopeful and excited at the new era that has already begun at IU. We've got some major steps to take in order to move up and get to that, what I call the upper half of the Big Ten division. But Purdue Boilermaker fans, and I'm sure all their radio, TV, and anybody involved with the program are pretty excited at the new era that's getting ready to begin.
Well, there's no question. I've had a lot of people ask my impressions of Coach Hazel, and I've only had a chance to talk to him one-on-one for about 5 minutes, and that was right after his press conference when he was introduced as the Purdue coach. But I think you can tell with people, and you've been around enough folks in and out of athletics, that you can tell when somebody's got it, that presence, and I think he's a guy who's got it. When he talks to you, he makes great eye contact, and I think he's probably the kind of guy that if you were a potential player, a student athlete at Purdue, that he would command your respect, and you would be able to relate to him, but you would also know who the guy in charge is, and I think he will bring an air of discipline to the program, and I think he will bring an air of accountability to the program, and he's not exactly inheriting an empty cupboard. I think there's some talent coming back for this team, but it does face a very difficult and challenging schedule next season, so he'll have his hands full in year one with Purdue.
Tim, this is Joe. Got a comment and then a question. First of all, any Purdue fans listening out there that aren't turning down the TV and turning up the radio and listening to Tim and Pete are doing themselves a disservice. You need to listen to Tim and Pete. And my next question is, I was also a humongous Joe McConnell fan. How is it to follow a legend like Joe?
Well, and follow is the exact term that I've always used, because when I was named the play-by-play voice, people asked what it was like to replace Joe. And you don't replace Joe McConnell. You follow him, and you hope that you can fill at least part of the footsteps that he left behind. Actually, ironically, I just got off the phone with Joe about 5 minutes ago. We still talk to each other at least once a week, and he's a big follower of Purdue sports, not just the football team, but also the basketball teams, and he knows what's going on in the athletic department. But I learned from two of the great broadcasting legends, not only at Purdue, but really in our industry, and that's John DeCamp and Joe McConnell. And as a student, John took me under his wing and gave me some advice that I still use 30-plus years later. And I learned so much from Joe McConnell, just the way he prepared and got ready for games. And here's a guy who's done hundreds, if not thousands, of games in his lifetime, and he prepared for everyone like it was going to be his last. And I think that work ethic and that dedication to the profession is something that I hope rubbed off on me, and I would like to in turn pass that along to somebody else someday.
Tim, when you look at Purdue, you're starting a new era. There's a lot of enthusiasm. A lot of hopes and possibilities as you look going forward. Being the voice of the Boilers, it's a little different than you'd be on the high school. You're more in tune with the day to day, everything that's going on with that program. Without putting you in a position where you're too uncomfortable, but I do want to ask you what happened that Purdue fell a little short with Coach Hope and his program. Where did Purdue not fill in the gaps or make the missteps in the recent years that led to the decision to start with a new coaching regime?
Well, I think that's a fair question, and I think in order to answer it, you have to go back in part to when Joe Tiller was winding his tenure down at Purdue. I think there's no question, and I think Joe would be the first to admit that things slid a little bit in his last couple of seasons. And the program that Danny took over in 2009 was not the program that Joe had in the earlier part of the decade. I think recruiting had fallen off a little bit, and all of the glow and the momentum from the Rose Bowl and from those New Year's Day bowls had really slipped away. There were some academic issues coming in that had to be straightened out, and I think that Danny Hope did a lot of good things for the program. I think there were some missteps early on, and you go back to his first year. There was a what some fans have kind of termed an ill-fated timeout in the Notre Dame game here that gave them an extra play. Now, you know, we can go back and hash out whether it was the right call or wrong call, but I think a lot of fans very early on in Danny's tenure questioned some of his game day abilities, partly because of that play. I think there was a big question mark in the 4 years that Danny was here about how he handled the quarterbacks, going with the two quarterbacks instead of sticking with one guy. And I understand part of that was due to the injuries and the fact that he didn't really have any choice in a lot of cases but to play a couple of guys. But I think the fact, too, that over the 4 years that Danny was here that we never really got any positive momentum that was sustained. And I go back even this last season, you look at – they go over to Columbus and really outplayed the Buckeyes for almost the entire game and at times dominated that game, wound up losing at the end in overtime. And then the next week they go up to Minnesota and absolutely lay an egg in a game that they have to win. And I think it was that inconsistency that plagued Danny's tenure. And for whatever reason, whether it was the quarterback situation, whether it was their confidence in his ability to run a game and manage a game, I think the fan base had turned Danny off and had tuned him out. And I think that, as much as the wins and losses, is what in the end made Morgan Burke really forced his hand. He really didn't have a choice when we had 20,000 empty seats at Purdue football games and you're not putting out a consistent winner. Those are two things that you can't have going on at the same time. And so I think there are a lot of reasons, but I think probably the inconsistency and the fact that for whatever reason Danny did not connect with the fan base, I think those were probably the two things that got him in the end.
You know, Tim, you bring up quarterbacks, and you know, I'm guilty of being one of the knuckleheads, you know, obsessing on the internet all the time. And you know, a lot of the talk is the future of quarterback, you know, and people worried about it. You know, how do you assess Purdue's quarterback situation in the next year and years to come with what we've got coming in and what we have?
Sure. Well, you know, there's a guy that's supposed to sign in February that we know is a very highly touted quarterback from the state. You've got Austin Appleby, who's from Ohio, who redshirted this year and has got a lot of upside but still has never taken a snap in a college game. And then you've got Rob Henry, who has played running back some this year. He's played receiver some. He's finally, I think, recovered from the knee injury he suffered last season. I think that's probably, with Darrell Hazel, his number one question heading into 2013. What do you do with that quarterback spot? Do you move Rob Henry somewhere else and say, we know he's one of our 22 best athletes, let's get him on the field? Or do you say, I can't go into this season with maybe the most difficult schedule that Purdue has ever had, and I can't go in with two quarterbacks who have never taken a snap in a college game? That would be like a suicide mission. So which direction he goes with that, I think, will be not only telling for the 2013 season, but will certainly have ramifications for the following years. Because if you play Henry, then you're going into that 2014 season again with inexperienced quarterbacks. So I would think that Appleby certainly will factor in. The incoming freshman will factor in. But I would be surprised if Rob Henry is not in the mix somewhere, because I do think that you've got to have some experience at that position heading into this season.
Well, I think that you're exactly right, but I also would agree with the point you were moving towards. You know, with this being a new regime in his first season, if he's going to make some of those difficult moves or difficult decisions, this is the time to do it, because he's coming in fresh. I don't want to say, I don't like to use the term he owes anybody, but you know, as you create relationships over 2, 3, 4 year periods with people you recruit, it may be a little bit more difficult to make those challenging decisions, but they've got to be made. Also, besides quarterback, Tim, where do you see other key spots that Purdue needs to shore up or needs to make sure they get taken care of as they go into what you're telling us, and I would agree, is just one of the most difficult schedules that Purdue's played in a while.
Well, I think that one of the things we saw this year that was a shortcoming of this team overall was the linebacking core, and I think that still has to be addressed somewhat. But probably maybe the biggest strength coming into the season could turn out to be one of the areas that really needs to be addressed next year, and that's the defensive line, because you lose Kawan Short up front, and you've had some injury issues up there. Robert Macy has flip-flopped back and forth between linebacker and defensive end. So I think you've got to decide whether you need some junior college help up front or if you've got enough talent in the pipeline. But I think at other spots, you know, the secondary I think is pretty stout coming next year. I love the offensive line that they brought in last year, the kids that they were able to redshirt this year. I think in about 2 or 3 years this could be a really special offensive line. I think they've got some talent players. They've got skill players offensively. The quarterback spot is certainly is one, linebacking, and I think the defensive line has to be looked at too. But, you know, the cupboard's not bare. There is some talent coming back, and even some of the players that were redshirted this year I think can be big contributors for 2013.
You know, we've talked about next year's Boilers, but we still have one game left. And going into the Heart of Dallas Bowl, how do you see that the teams reacted with the loss of Danny Hope and going on to play this bowl game against Oklahoma State?
Well, I've been very, very impressed with the job that Patrick Higgins has done. I think it's a very difficult situation to be put into where your own personal future is certainly uncertain at best, and Patrick doesn't know 2 weeks from now where he'll be or what he'll be doing, whether he's going to be retained by this new coach or not. But I think he's done a great job at keeping practices fun. One thing about bowl practices, yes, you do have the opportunity to get 15 workouts, but you can't make it a punishment for the players. And Patrick had that quote earlier on as we talked to him. The bowl should be a reward and not a punishment. So you've got to make sure that you're keeping the players fresh, you're keeping their attention, you're doing interesting things at practice. I'd be very surprised if Purdue doesn't pull out a few trick plays on Tuesday. But I also think that they have a feeling that they can line up. Oklahoma State's got a great offensive team, and the numbers are almost eye-popping as you look at it. But this is a team that's got a little bit of a question mark by it defensively. And I have the feeling that Purdue's going to line up in a couple of two-back sets here and maybe try to pound the football and see if Oklahoma State can stop that running game. The Boilermakers were able to run the ball in the last three games that they won, which really opened things up for Robert Marv, and I think they'll try to continue to do that, which also will keep Oklahoma State's offense off the field. The old adage, the best defense, a good offense, and vice versa. Oklahoma State can't score if they're not on the field with that offense.
Tim, as you look at the bowl game and Purdue coming out, trying some things and playing the game and the fun and enthusiasm of the bowl game, is it also an interview, so to speak, as the new coach watches on, looks at some of these players, what they're doing? Are they out there and this is their opportunity to show their new head coach what they're capable of?
Well, there's no question. Darrell Hazel will be in the press box Tuesday watching that football game, and he'll be looking for a lot of things. He'll be looking for things on the field, certainly in terms of performance, but I'm sure he'll also be looking up and down that sideline and saying, okay, if things are going well, if things are going poorly, what's the body language like? Who do I see down there that's stepping up and looking like they're trying to take a leadership role? So this is a case, we just finished Christmas, and Santa Claus is watching everybody to see who's naughty and nice. I think Darrell's going to be in the same situation Tuesday. He's going to be making his list and checking it twice. And if you're a player, and especially a returning player who wants to play in 2013 and beyond, you'd better get off on the right foot with the new boss. And this is your first chance to have basically an on-stage rehearsal and show him what you're capable of doing and that you can help this program going forward. So, yeah, I think certainly that should be an extra motivation for the players on Tuesday.
Tim, as we get ready to wind up this segment, let's talk a little Boiler women's basketball. Purdue just over the years had a great women's program, and I know you've been involved in some of the calls on that. How are the Boiler Lady Boilers this year?
Well, they're right now 11-1, heading into a game tomorrow at number 5 Notre Dame. Purdue's ranked number 11 in the country and certainly one of the top 3 picks this year, I think, in the Big Ten, along with Penn State and Nebraska. They've had a very balanced attack. They have not had the same player lead them in scoring in back-to-back games all season. They're averaging over 70 points a game. They're one of the top shooting teams in the country. Sharon Versip had her players shoot 30,000 shots apiece over the summer, and so far that has paid dividends. They're shooting 78% from the line, about 47% from the field, and they're over 40% as a team from three-point range. Now, whether those numbers are sustainable through an entire season has yet to be seen, because usually the defense is clamped down a little bit better in conference play. But I think it's Sharon's deepest team, and I think it's a team that could make a deep tournament run this year.
Now, as far as the ladies' tournament, the NCAA tournament, does anyone have, when you get into tournament time and you're really getting, you're hitting on all cylinders, does somebody have the ability to defensively defend the big gal at Baylor?
No. the only chance you got to stop her is the same defense they used on Nancy Kerrigan. I think it's a lead pipe to the knee. You know, unless she gets in foul trouble or unless she is injured coming in, they're the overwhelming favorite. You've really got three teams, I think, in women's college basketball. You've got Baylor, Stanford, and Connecticut that have distanced themselves from everybody else. And, you know, depending on what the draw is, you can get to the Final Four if you don't have one of those three teams on your side. But, you know, Baylor lost this year for the first time in a long time to Stanford. They lost by a point late. I think, I can't remember, it may have even been an overtime game. But she's unstoppable. She is completely unstoppable when she gets the ball deep. And, you know, it's the same thing you remember back in the days when Lou Alcindor and those guys were dominating in the NCAA men's side. And teams have to adapt. And on the women's side, you're just not used to defending someone that tall with that much skill. And over time, I think things will evolve, and you know, we'll see more and more players like that. But, you know, she's certainly a program changer, and the fact that she led them to a national championship last year was no surprise, and I think she's got a chance to lead them to back-to-back championships this year.
And the, you know, girls' basketball being my background as a coach on the boys' side, I just think the girls' game has evolved so much, actually, in the last decade. It's a very pure, still a very pure form of the sport. I think the girls are doing everything they can to play it the right way because they still play below the rim. And so it's great to see them have to do all those little things in order to be successful. Then you have Griner come in, and she's so big and so physical. You almost have to get your two biggest gals, and you got to meet her at the elbow and bump her out of that lane and just physically hope you can get away with bumping her away from the basket because, like you said, if she gets deep, it's absolutely over. There was a Purdue women's player from our neck of the woods down here in the Evansville, Indiana area, Evansville Memorial, Fakara Malone.
Absolutely. Fakara Malone was a 4-year starter at point guard for Purdue, and she got her degree in psychology from here in 2010. She's actually right now at the University of Evansville. She's getting her master's degree, and she is serving as a director of operations, basketball operations, for the women's basketball team. So I'm sure she probably suits up every once in a while in practice and gives the point guards fits. But Fakara was one of the great competitors we've had here and a great person on and off the court. Really, really enjoyed having her in the program here.
Yeah, she really was. I have a little connection with Evansville Memorial, and although she was gone when my connection began a little bit more, I was able to meet her a couple times, and what a wonderful personality and just a great career she had. Tim, thank you so much for being on with us during this holiday season. It's an exciting time for the Purdue football program, and even though I'm not a Purdue fan in any way, shape, or form, I am excited for them to see the enthusiasm of this new coaching staff coming in and the new potential going forward, because I know Purdue football has a great tradition.
Well, Coach, thank you for having me, and we're going to do our best. We're going to try and convert you here with the way the Boilermakers play over the next few seasons. Maybe we can get you to change allegiances. Although I know that's a pretty tough thing to do, but appreciate you having me, and we look forward to a great game on Tuesday.
Promise me you'll come back and talk Boiler football.
Absolutely. Love to anytime.
All right. It's great having you. Tim, thanks for coming. We'll be back. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's from Jasper Today, Milligan Communications, and the Milligan family, Joe, Liz, Ryan, Reed, Reese, and Ray.
Here at Globo Gym, we understand that ugliness and fatness are genetic disorders, much like baldness or necrophilia. And it's only your fault if you don't hate yourself enough to do something about it. And that's where we come in. And with our competitively priced on-site cosmetic surgery, we can turn that Frankenstein you see in the mirror every morning into a Frankenfine. Of course, you'll still be you in a legal sense, but think of it as a thinner, more attractive, better you than you could ever become without us. Because here at Globo Gym, we're better than you, and we know it.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back. And, Coach, did you think that Global Gym was a new sponsor, or did you realize what that was from?
I absolutely knew that dodgeball piece, and it would be nice if they'd be our sponsor, but you've had some good snippets in here. I loved it. And Joe, should we be trying apple pie at least once, or is it diarrhea? I'm not sure on that earlier one, but
yeah.
You always do a great job on that control board. Hey, Tim did a great job. It was great to have him. You know, I'm not a Purdue fan, but it was great to get his insight. And I think Purdue has a lot to look forward to, and I would stress that for some of those players in this bowl game, this is kind of an interview process for them, and I hope they're ready to play.
Yeah, and, you know, also reading the web this week, a couple things I wanted to bring up to you, a couple IU notes, okay?
Yeah.
First of all, on Pegues, which Mike Pegram, great guy. I really enjoyed having him on last week. Hope he comes back on. But on the message boards, people still talking about Zeller and Oladipo. They think that they're going to return. Still, you know, I think this is a weekly rant. How do those numbers figure out, Coach K?
Well, I think those people are you know, it's kind of like the thing you ask for Christmas, but you're never going to get. Every once in a while, you get the Red Ryder BB gun, and you do shoot your eye out or get close to it. But I don't see Zeller coming back. I don't see Oladipo coming back. And I know this is going to probably cause some IU fans to scratch their head or maybe disagree with me. That's okay. Disagree with me. That's fine. That's what your sports talk show is all about, and that's what the Coach K and Joe Show is. I said it last year at the end of the year that Christian Watford should have gone pro, that his stock would never be higher. And at this point in the season, I'm right. He has not played consistently. He has not played the type of basketball he was playing pretty much all of last year. Is he capable of getting on a roll? Absolutely, yes, he can. But with the change or mix in the team with Sheehy and Yogi Farrell and some of the new guys brought in with him, his game, because of his positioning, changes a little bit, Joe. So I don't see if Oladipo continues to play the way he's playing, he should have not only the presence of mind himself, but he should have the support of those in the know to say, this is a great opportunity for you, go pro. And so I see Zeller going pro, and I see him going in the top five, and I see Oladipo going pro, and I see him going in the first round. I don't know if there's a quicker basketball player in the country than Victor Oladipo, especially with that spin move, and his game has nowhere to go but expanding up. So I look forward to that opening up. And, Joe, you're right, and I think that Peaks was great when he talked with us last week about the uncharted territory with this over-recruiting right now, and that it's really not something that goes on a lot throughout the country, that only a couple programs have put themselves in this position, NIU being one of them. You know, we've got Matt Sisley coming up in a few minutes, Joe, but I thought I might hit on some high school hoops around the area. And for you people listening over in Illinois, I apologize. I can't think of her name right now, and I should have written it down. My mistake. But Mount Carmel has a young lady playing. She's leading the nation in high school scoring for girls, like 38 points a game, or 39 points a game. She is phenomenal. And closer to home, we have a really outstanding player, Munsterman, from Otter Day's girls team. She's averaging about 23 a game. But just looking at some of the conferences in the area, the Big 8 Conference right now, Vincennes Lincoln, undefeated, 3-0 in boys basketball. Pocket Athletics, Southridge, 3-0 in conference, 5-1 overall. Blue Chip, Ligoti, undefeated in the conference, overall 7-1, and Bar Eve right behind them at 3-0 and 7-0 overall. And then the Patoka Lake Conference, Orleans, which has put a great decade of basketball together in boys basketball, actually has a great tradition, 2-0 in the conference, 6-1 overall. Crawford County right behind them, undefeated at 5-0 overall. Paoli's 5-1. Perry Central continues on from there. So some very, very good basketball being played. Northeast Dubois, 2-4 overall right now in the blue chip. And so a lot of good high school basketball going on. And we'll be bringing Matt Sisley up in just a couple minutes, Joe, and head coach at Heritage Hills High School.
Well, you know, the game that stuck out to me this week, and I have a friend from Ligoti, and I text him late that night to make sure it was true, and he did not text me back, so I figured it was that Washington defeated Ligoti 46-29, which kind of shows that Ligoti might be a little vulnerable, and you know that North Davies Bar Eve Ligoti sectional is going to be one heck of a sectional once again.
Yeah, it really will be, and I got to be honest with you, Joe. I was shocked when I heard that score. I thought it was a mistake. I'd seen Washington play a couple of times, and I got to tell you, they were struggling. Bossy just destroyed them, and I know a couple of their other scores, they had been beaten pretty soundly. I know they got a nice little player in Arnold, a big, strong, young player, but they struggle in some of the other spots. And so for them to defeat Ligoti and defeat them the way they did, you know, Coach Miller must have found what he needed to do. Him and his staff must have found that little chink in the armor and took advantage of it.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, Ligoti's got they got the Springs Valley tournament coming up. I'm not sure that looks the way it looks at it. Lanesville's in it. Lanesville's usually a decent team. I just pulled it up, 6-3 this year. But after that tournament, they follow up with North Davies and Bar Eve back to back. So that they are maybe a little bit of who's the leader might shake out there real fast.
Yeah, and you know, Jasper goes on the road, I believe, tonight playing Evansville Central. Evansville Central is currently 3-4 overall, and that's a mirror record to Jasper at this point. That's always a great battle between the two teams. And when I say great battle, the basketball is not always the best because you're in the middle of the holidays, but it'll still be a good battle, a good test for both teams. In the Evansville Pocket City area, Harrison, as I mentioned earlier, is 7-0. Bossy is 7-1. Castle 5-1. North 5-2. Wrights 6-3. Memorial's 2-3. Modern Day's 4-3. And Central 3-4. So some really good basketball as far as team play in the Evansville area, and just a lot of good players overall. A little later in the program, we'll hear from our Indy Hoops contributor Don Schulteis. He's at the Hall of Fame Classic in Newcastle, Indiana today. Of course, the girls' games are being played and the boys' games will be played as well, and he's going to call in and give us a report up there at Newcastle at Chrysler Arena. And, Joe, you know that Chrysler Arena is the largest high school basketball venue in the country, not just in the state, but in the country.
Another interesting fact is Newcastle is where the Joe and the Coach K and Joe show was born.
It was?
Yep. That's why I was always a Kent Benson fan when I was growing up.
Well, having had a team in the Hall of Fame Classic a few years back when Michael Lewis played for me, we took a team up there. It was tough. We played some really good competition, and it was a difficult time because we had some injuries going into that tournament, and we walked out of there with two losses, unfortunately. But I can remember that year we were ranked in the top three, and we had a number of injuries to start the season. Plus, the football team had gone pretty far in the playoffs, and they were late getting back. So it was a real test to your team and to your players on what, you know, mentally, how they were going to be able to respond to the physical challenge of two games in one day that early in the season. But great place. Place holds about 10,000. Wonderful arena to watch basketball, and they just love their basketball up in Newcastle.
Yeah, they do. Yes, they do, with Steve Alford.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe, let's take a break here, and when we come back, we'll have Heritage Hills head coach Matt Sisley with us.
Okay, you've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show. Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
We are going to do what we set out to do. We're going to win that tournament.
Yes! I knew it. I knew you were a champion the minute I saw you bowl, Ish.
I'm not going to bowl.
What?
You are.
Why? You are such a loser. You're a bona fide schmuck. Look at me!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back with our next segment, and I'm excited to bring him on, head coach of the Heritage Hills Patriots over in the sand. And What a prime time or ironic or perfect time to be talking to the man who runs the Heritage Hills Patriots program over in Santa Claus, Indiana, since we are in the Christmas season. Coach Sisley, great to have you on the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, you know, I know you're in the middle of the season, and you've had some games in which your kids have played well. You've had some games in which you've come up a little bit short, not maybe gotten the overall team play that you wanted, but at this point, I mean, it's early yet. You know, we're still in December. We've got a long way to March. Overall, what are your thoughts about the Patriots' basketball play at this point in the year?
Well, Coach, we're sitting at 2-3 right now, and I don't think I've ever been more excited for our program and for our varsity team than we are right now. You know, you talked about consistency and things like that, and we've played some outstanding basketball. And what we all have to remember, especially inside of our locker room, we have one player, Devin Murder, with any kind of varsity experience at all, and we're five games deep into the season, and we've played three great quarters, three and a half great quarters, and then we'll have, you know, some lapses on defense, some spells where we didn't score last night when we played Crawford County. And that's been our Achilles heel and rebounding and just trying to put together an entire game. And we're not senior-led team. And that kind of hurts us at times. But yet the whole time our kids are constantly in the film room asking questions with positive motion and just constantly wanting to learn and get better. And, you know, it's no skin off their toes at all. They just go back to work. We had a great shoot around this morning, and we're getting ready for Boonville tonight. But it's been a great start to the year. It's not what we wanted because these kids are used to winning, and they've won their whole lives, and they'll come back, and then we'll keep at it.
Well, Coach, just for our listeners, not only in the state but around the country who listen to our show, you know, you were a pretty good high school basketball player yourself, and had a solid college career, and you played for a pretty good basketball high school basketball coach in Dale Hine. When I was growing up in high school and then through college and got into coaching at Washington Catholic, Dale, you know, was running the Heritage Hills basketball program and was just an outstanding coach. And again, you went on to a solid college career on both the junior college and Division One level, I believe. And then you go to Forest Park, and you're part of a great program there, just tremendous success. And you come back to Heritage Hills, and it's a program that's in transition, that's trying to work its way back up to what it used to be, and it's been a process for you. How does where you've been and what you've done and who you've been with and been under help you stay focused and stay at it as you rebuild the Heritage Hills program?
Well, you know, when I was growing up to the program, Heritage Hills was an outstanding basketball team, program, year in, year out. We had, you know, good role models to look up to, the John Beckers, the Phil Walls, the Brad Fellows. It was just solid. And our coaching staff, you know, was solid, and there was a high expectations in Lincoln City to be good and win sectionals. And, you know, we never did win a regional, but Dale Hine was our high school coach, great motivator, just pretty hardcore coach, and I learned a lot from him. And then I had went on to JUCO. I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to play JUCO basketball at Danville, Illinois, and John Spezia is a highly respected coach and coached defense well, you know, worked with offensive development. He runs tons of camps all over the world still. You know, he can't retire. I joke with him all the time, but John's still running camps, and he's come down and worked out some of my players. So when you talk about keeping focus on your program and doing what's right, you know, I've been around success. I think I'm one of the luckiest guys. You know, I never made it to the NBA. I'm not a Hall of Fame Indiana basketball coach, but I have been around a lot of good basketball. We won a national championship my freshman year, Division II level at junior college. And it just seems like everywhere I've gone, it's just been success after success, been around great players, great coaches, great assistant coaches. And it's just, I feel very fortunate. I know, you know, I talked to my son, Blake. He's 10 years old now, and just constantly talking to him about athletics, how I can, you know, be around it, make you tougher, make you, you know, handle life well. And I've been fortunate through the route that I've taken. Then I eventually went to Southeast Missouri and played for Ron Shumate, great Division II coach. But when the year before I got there, they had transferred, or they had made the transition to Division I in the Ohio Valley Conference. And, you know, that really teaches you a lot of discipline, work ethic, and things of that nature. And then I taught in Sykeston, Missouri for 3 years. I was a JV coach down there as a 4A high school in Southeast Missouri, and then fortunate enough to get back home. My wife, you know, was wanting to move back to Southern Indiana, and Tom Beach, the coach at the time, had called me, and it worked out great. We had a great run over there for 8 years, a lot of great people in the community, and, you know, that was a program that was established. And then, you know, eventually I take the Heritage Hills job, which I thought would be a great challenge. The kids here want to play basketball, and they want to play a lot of sports, and that's what we try to get the kids to do. I think it gives you a mental edge when you compete at different sports and things like that. But, you know, it's been a process. Our kids work hard. They do what they're asked. You can push them, and it's just been a great experience.
Well, Coach, you know, one thing that people maybe that listen to us that aren't in our area might not understand is that, you know, high school coaching, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, whatever it might be, in our area, we share the athletes, and we share the athletes that are coming up through our system. You may get up in Indianapolis and Fort Wayne. It's not really that much in Evansville, I can tell you from my time here. But in Indianapolis, Fort Wayne area, Chicago, northwestern Indiana area, you get a lot of shuffling of players between different schools, and the IHSA is kind of in the school of or education in the state of Indiana has kind of opened up the boundaries for that to happen, I should say. But still, in the southern part of the state, different parts where it's more rural or smaller communities, you are dealing, sharing athletes. You had a you have a great football tradition. Coach Clayton had created just a juggernaut in football, and now he's retired out and new coach, and you've had solid baseball. So people need to understand that you're sharing athletes for certain periods of the year, and you're developing a program. You're not recruiting. They're not just knocking on the door. You're trying to share those so you can help Heritage Hills be successful in all areas when they go out on the court or the field. And so your time is limited. So it becomes so important that the time that you do have, there's purpose and focus to it. And for the fans, it just takes time to develop that process from the grades on up.
Well, it does. And, you know, I'll reflect back on our time in the summer. You know, we've got the kids 2 days a week for 4 hours, basically, is what we have. And then we'll play in the league at Forest Park, which is right down the road on Mondays. But, you know, the guys go to football in the morning and lift and run, and they've got baseball on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we have them on Monday, Wednesday, and if you don't play another sport, then we'll come in on Thursday. So our time is limited. And like I said, you know, I've got no complaints with our kids. Our kids are always on time. They're always there. And then we go to a team camp in the summer at Fort Wayne, and I've got 100% participation. And that's a commitment these kids in our program have made, and I'm pretty excited about it. And they want to be in the gym. They want to be together. And this current group we have at the varsity level is really committed to the game of basketball. And it's exciting, and our program's on the way up. And I'll just go back again and talk about the process. When you just can't go out and hopefully get a 6'6 transfer. You know, we are who we are. Our football team is who we are, and baseball. And we've got to stick together, share athletes, and come together for a common cause and make this high school the strongest we can.
Well, I think Heritage Hills just has a great school corporation and has for many, many years. It's located in such a beautiful area of the state. You talked about your team still learning how to get some leadership, and I'm not talking about leadership from the coaches. I'm talking about leadership on the floor. That comes through experience. That comes through sometimes innate abilities that young men have or young ladies have in the girls program. But you've got a young team. Tell us a little bit about some of your personnel, the players, the makeup, their size, just a little bit about this young team. That, you know, the great thing, Coach, about a young team is if they keep working hard, they become an older, experienced team, and that's always nice. And I know you have the young murder kid playing for you, and I played with his dad, Dean, at Jasper, and I know Dean was a winner, so I have no doubt that he's a winner as well. But tell us a little bit about your personnel and their makeup and what you see for them going forward.
Yeah, I've got a third-year letter winner, Devin Murder. He's about 6'2", 6'3". Got in the gym, worked on his game, played AAU, become more of a threat off the dribble, excellent three-point shooter, great free-throw shooter. He's a gym rat. He gets, you know, in trouble at the high school for leaving the lights on, but he's constantly in the gym. He's able to take people off the dribble now. He's averaging about 20 points a game for us, and he's doing a fine job. Another junior we've got is Sam Sherry. His dad, Dan, was a high school basketball player, good athlete. He's 6 foot point guard. He's the leader that we're talking about earlier in the show. And, you know, he's trying to get what I want done and what we need to do as a team. Great about asking questions and then really been able to attack off the dribble this year. He's had a couple of games where he's had 8 assists, 1 turnover. Really doing a good job for us. Our other junior that starts and has been getting a lot of minutes, he's averaging double digits, 6'3", Spencer Minto, receiver on the football team, big, long, lanky kid. I've got him playing the true center spot at 6'3", about 180, and he's doing well. rebounds, guarding people bigger than him, and really doing more than what has been asked of him. And then I've got a sophomore, Gavin Schaefer, 6'3", lights-out shooter, plays on our Evansville AAU club for Mike Thomas at Evansville. He's averaging about 15 a game for us this season. You know, I've got him guarding a post guy. He's a true shooting guard. Hopefully he can get a chance to play at the next level. But I've got him playing in the post on defense. He's getting beat up a little bit, you know, being a sophomore. And he's learning the ropes, and I yell at him, and then I pat him on the back, and it's just been back and forth all year with Gavin. But, you know, he's learning how to try to play real defense. You know, when you grow up bigger and stronger than everybody in that class that he's in, that sophomore class has always been successful, he's found out things are different at the varsity level. But he's been a solid performer. You know, he can hit the knockdown three, take it to the basket, got a nice dunk last night, and he brings a lot to our program. Justin Crane is a 6-foot sophomore. Good ball handler, crafty, off the dribble. He's coming along as well. And then some other kids that round out our roster is Torin Madden, junior. Good shooter, Zach Zolman, good ball handler. He's a junior. Logan Steckler set out a couple years, wanted to work. He's 6'4". He's trying to get his feet wet again and try to relearn the system. And you know how it is, Coach, when you set out basketball for a while, it's tough to come back, and he's kind of finding that out. And our last varsity member is Andy Sickbert, big, strong kid inside that relieves Mento and does a lot of small things, rebound and do some things of that nature. And we've got a very nice core group of 10 kids that are 8 juniors and 2 sophomores.
Well, you know, and again, I want to stress that these young guys, as they gain experience, they're going to get better, they're going to get smarter, and they're going to help their coach be a better coach, as they say, down the road. Now, Sherry, his dad, Dan, coached with me at Jasper, was assistant coach for me for a couple years, so I know both as a player and as a coach, they've got the basketball background in that family. So it really sounds to me like you've got some good core people to build around. Now it's just a matter of taking on that tough schedule that you guys have and getting them to where they're experienced, comfortable playing together and putting themselves in a position to start stepping, not just on, but stepping up.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, this team, before last night, we played a little different style last night against Crawford County, but they were averaging 71.8 points a game. That's unheard of around here, because we've been averaging like 55 points, and they come busting out of the gates, and they can flat play offense. I mean, they can shoot, they push the ball. Most unselfish team we've ever had. They really, really, truly don't care who scores, and that's what makes this team so tough to guard. They've not been guarded well all year. But on the flip side, you know, we've give up 16 offensive rebounds 2 games ago, and that doesn't sit well with the coach, doesn't sit well with, you know, your program when you're losing by 1 in overtime. And we talked about toughness and grit and just really fighting through some of the weaknesses that we have. And sometimes that's hard for young kids. You know, you're playing middle school basketball and freshman, and then you're expected to perform, and you've got a head coach on your case about blocking out. You're getting pushed around, and that's the grit and toughness that this team, that they will get. But it just it goes through growing pains, and I talked to him before the season started about, you know, you're going to go through growing pains. You know, everybody's all excited at the beginning of the year. You haven't been beat yet. You're 0-0, and you had a great summer against competition around Southern Indiana, and we did have a very good summer. And that's the stuff that we just keep referring back to. And these guys are, you know, they look forward to the challenge, and they'll be fine.
Well, you know, and it comes down to those little things so much. You know, you score, and some nights you may not shoot as well, but. But as coaches, we always tell our kids, you can always come out and play good defense. You can always come out and block out. You can always come out and communicate. Those are the little things that young players have to learn. And you know, Coach, I'm sure you're doing it every – I know you are. You're drilling it and drilling it. And those block out drills can be tough and mentally – I mean, they are taxing. I know we used to do the 2-step block outs and have that ball drop. And 3 seconds you had to hold your man in a block out position. Those things are tough. The kids hate him, but boy, that's what you got to do, especially if you're undersized or you're young. You got to be able to get those things done. Coaches, we end this session. You brought up a couple of your guys are playing AAU. There was an article in the Evansville Courier this week talking about AAU and high school basketball, and just want to get your thoughts on it. You know, when this first came out, there was a lot of difficulty between AAU and high school as far as the coaches and what was going on both ways. One of the Duncans made the comment, I think it was Ernie in the article, you don't get a lot of coaching in AAU, but you get great competition. Just real quickly, for the parents who are listening, maybe some of the young players that are listening, your thoughts on AAU and then the high school side as well.
Well, I love it. I mean, I absolutely love the AAU. I call it the AAU circuit. I think it's great. I played in it. I played for Mike Thomas at Evansville. I think, you know, it shows you what's out there. You know, we get out of our little areas and, you know, we've got good players here and there at this high school and that high school. But when you get out in AAU, you're going to be tested against the greatest players in the United States, especially if you get to travel to some of the bigger tournaments, like out in Las Vegas, like I got to. And, you know, there's Lute Olson standing on the sideline and Krzyzewski and Knight, and the list goes on and on. And, you know, I wasn't that big time of a player, but, you know, I felt like that I could play Division I basketball, and that's eventually where I was seen. And I think it's a must for kids that are going to go on to play at the next level. And I have a great relationship with the coach at Evansville, and he's inquired about our players, and I do have one playing now, and I think it's a great tool for kids to get out and be seen in the summer and get some exposure. It can be a detriment, as I got yelled at when I came back to practice. You know, the defense, they don't really have the high qualified coaches, you know, that have to worry about grade point average and being on time. You know, it's a looser brand of basketball, and it has its place. And I think kids that are looking to play at the next level need to find an AAU team. And, you know, you got to find the right situation for you. But when you come back to the high school game, you know, you got to guard. You got to block out. If you don't block out in an AAU game, the score's 100-96, you know, it's not a big deal. It's basically a showcase is the way I see it. And, you know, you pick up lifelong friends. Some of my lifelong friends, you know, Calvert Chaney, I played with him, Big Dave Hinton, Dirk Searles out of Evansville Bossy. You know, I'm still friends with them on Facebook, and we communicate, and it's great. You get to travel and do some things like that. But, you know, it's like I said, it's a great showcase. But when you come back and play for your high school team, you know, the screws are tightened up a little different than they are.
Yeah, I think, for example, Mike Thomas, I think his heart's in the right place. I think he wants the best for his young men and the opportunity. You know, when I was coaching, we used to take him out to a five-star camp in the Pittsburgh area to play against all the great players, Jim Jackson, Alonzo Mourning, all those guys were out there. Most of my players, well, all of them, other than maybe one or two that could play at a higher level, were never going to be that good. But, again,
right.
I wanted them to see what it was like and see what it took to play against people of that level. As AAU started to get bigger, that has kind of taken the place of a lot of those showplace camps, Nike All-American camp, Adidas Top 100 camp, those types of things. But it is important that if you have the opportunity to play AAU and you can give it the time and effort, it does allow you to expand your skill level by playing with better players, albeit mostly offensively. But if you go to work and stay focused, you can find, hey, who can I defend? How can I defend at this level, the things that it takes? Coach, it was so great to have you. I know we're going to want you back later in the year. You just keep plugging away. You got a young team with, I think, some great pedigree behind it in the individual players. And as they come together, I think you're going to see the fruits of your labor come through.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you having me on. Joe, thanks a bunch for the invite, and I'll be glad to come on anytime.
Well, have a great end to the Christmas holiday and a great new year, and good luck against Boonville, and hopefully the Patriots can get out of there with a victory.
Okay, thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
All right, you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Happy holidays, Coach K here, and from my family, Janet, Josh, Paige, and Scott, to your family, here's wishing you a very Merry Christmas, and yes, Christmas includes Christ. He's the reason for the season, and have a blessed new year.
What the hell league you been playing in?
California Penal.
Never heard of it. Well, how'd you end up playing there?
Stole a car.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Great interview with Matt Sisley at Heritage Hills. And, you know, the one thing about our show is you're going to get the local area, which people love. You're going to get the statewide area, which people love. And you're going to get the national level, which people love. So this show is your sports talk show, and we're going to cover all the different areas in sports and maybe some other things as well. But you're going to get the local area, Indiana, Kentucky, Illinois, around the southern parts of the state, the statewide area as well in the national level. And speaking of national level, we want to welcome our next guest to the school, to the show, CBSSports.com, bracketologist extraordinaire, Jerry Palm. Great to have you.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, it's wonderful to have you, Jerry. You know, we're in the height of the BCS bowls period. We've got the smaller bowls going on. We've got January 7th looming with Alabama and Notre Dame. And things are going to change as we go forward in the next year or two as they'll change the format. When you look at the way the BCS is set up right now, are we in the best system possible, or is what they want or what they're wanting to do going to take us to another level that's better? What are your thoughts about where we are in the BCS and how things are set up now versus what they want to go to?
I think we were fine the way we are now. I think that, you know, college football isn't really structured well to have a proper playoff being one where everybody has a chance to win the national championship before the season starts. So you're talking about 10 conference champions, probably 6 at-large teams, enough to get everybody in with a legitimate chance to win it. And yet give everybody a chance to win a national title before the season starts. That structure probably doesn't work for college football. Therefore, I think the one we have is the second best. Unfortunately, they decided to go to something else, which they're not going to call the Bowl Championship Series, but is actually more of a Bowl Championship Series than the Bowl Championship Series, because it's the BCS on steroids. It's going to be the same structure, only bigger. And the only difference, really, is that instead of taking two teams at the end of the regular season to play for a championship, they're going to take two bowl winners to play for a championship. That's really the only difference. And I don't think it buys them a thing. It doesn't fix a single thing that's wrong with this system. And, in fact, it even dilutes it more because now, you know, the teams like Northern Illinois, who probably really don't belong in the BCS, they're going to get a spot every year, and they're not going to have to meet a minimum standard to do it. They just have to be the best of the non-major conference champions, whether they're 5th, 15th, 25th, or 35th, doesn't matter.
Well, you know, Jerry, I've got, like, so many things spinning around in my head that I want to talk to you about, and forgive me if I jump around, but I was so excited that we were going to have you on. I think your story and how you got into this business and how you've taken the RPI statistical side of things and brought them together. I mean, talk a little bit about your interest in how you got to where you are right now. I mean, athletics, I love the little bio on you. I wasn't a great athlete, but I loved athletics. So can you give us a little bit of, our listeners, a little bit of your background and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. Well, I've always had an interest in sports, of course. My background is computer science. That's my degree. And so back in 93, 94, it's been almost 20 years now, the RPI formula changed. I saw an article about it. The Internet was in its infancy back then, but I decided to gather the data and put it together and see what it looked like and how it was used. And I sort of taught myself, sort of got in touch with the NCAA, or they got in touch with me to help me out a little bit. And but I was just publishing on, you know, news groups on the Internet, which is the caveman painting on the wall version of the message boards and things that we have today. And eventually created a website for it. A guy who covers Penn State found me. He was my first media contact. He tells two friends, they tell two friends. Pretty soon, everybody covering college basketball knows who I am. And it's just the kind of a thing where I couldn't have stopped it without turning off my phone and getting in the fetal position under my desk. It was just one of those things where there was a lot more interest in what I was doing than I ever thought there would be. And it ended up turning from a hobby into a job and, you know, started covering the BCS too when that came out in 98. And it's a weird thing that I do. Nobody else does it, but it's a lot of fun.
You know, what's really interesting, and I think probably a lot of our listeners may not realize, the statistical part of the sports that a lot of people don't hear about has really taken hold with a lot of coaches. And there are several college coaches on the basketball side. And I won't throw their names out there right now, but they are in top 25 teams, and I'm sure there's more than that. They're not only relying on scouting reports on what this team does or doesn't do. They are coming in at halftime, and they want the statistical information on the teams they're playing during that game. And I'm not talking about just turnovers or deflections, but in this area, what was the percentage of shots scored upon, and where was this guy, and how does this team usually come out in the second half, and what will they do statistically? And they are hiring graduate assistants, and they are hiring, bringing on people who are just focused, have that great computer statistic knowledge to break down all those areas. So what you loved is becoming so important, not only in the business world, obviously, but now in athletics. And you don't have to have been a great athlete to be an important part of a program, a coaching staff today.
That's true. No, there's no doubt about that. It's you know, for me, it's not a lot of the in-game, you know, individual statistics and teams, mm-hmm. things like that. I have helped coaches with things like scheduling, though, how to schedule to maximize their ratings, and both teams and conferences will contact me about that sort of thing. And so, yeah, that, it's almost become a little bit of a side thing that I would have never expected.
You know, Jerry, talking about scheduling, we've got both on football and now we've seen a lot of it in basketball, the blow up of conferences. You know, conferences that we grew up traditionally, the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, the Big East, the ACC, Atlantic, all these conferences were so static for such a long time. And now we're seeing possibly the end to some of them, and the total change in geography and the schools that are a part of them. When you look at this from scheduling and the RPI and the BCS and all, where are we going with these super conferences, and what's behind, besides the money, what's behind a lot of this in your opinion?
There is no besides the money. It's the money. It's in the form of TV sets on cable systems, and, you know, television contracts with pretty much ESPN. There's not a whole lot of other players, really. Fox is in somewhat. But, I mean, that's really it. You know, the Big Ten went to Maryland and Rutgers because they're hoping to get the Big Ten network into the Baltimore, D.C. markets and into the New York metropolitan markets, and that's going to be a real uphill climb. I don't think it's going to be nearly as easy as they think it is, and I don't think we're going to get the windfall, we, the Big Ten, because I'm a Purdue guy, so I guess I could say we, that they're going to get the windfall out of that they think they are. But they give up a lot of their identity by making those moves. I'm not thrilled with the direction of all of this stuff. I don't think it's been good for college football. I don't think it's good for college sports. And I think you've created some strange bedfellows. No, I'm not really a big fan of all of this.
Does this really affect how they're going to schedule in the future?
Yes,
for maybe
definitely.
Some of the teams that aren't associated with these conferences, whether it be football or basketball, the RPI ratings and things like that, is this going to make it more difficult on the smaller school or not the big-time conference schools to be in a position to gain tournament opportunities?
Yeah, it is going to be tougher because I think one of the offshoots of this is that you're going to see more conference games for some of these teams. So the Big Ten is talking about going to 9 conference games instead of 8 in football. More conference games in other sports, too, and that means fewer non-conference games, fewer non-conference opportunities for some of the smaller schools to get to play the big schools. So, yeah, it's going to impact everybody.
Yeah, and you know, as I think about that, you know, they were just a couple of years ago trying to find some ways to bring a little more parity to allow some of these schools to have an opportunity to play up in their schedule and maybe gain some opportunity to get into the tournament that they may not have had before, and now it seems like we're moving this the other way. The people with the big mallet, the big hammer, are pushing their way through the wall and making a little more distance or a few more hurdles for those teams to get over. You take a team like Butler in basketball, and I don't know if you have a thought on this or not, but you've got the Catholic schools that are leaving the Big East to form a conference, and you know, they've mentioned Butler as possibility joining them, leaving the Atlantic 10 after really 1 year. My question to you, and if you have any thoughts on this, I would think that a school like Butler would have to say, okay, all you guys are forming this, you know, preliminarily we call it the Catholic School Conference. Do they have some discussion with the NCAA ahead of time? Because right now I think the A-10 in basketball gets 4 bids in, automatic bids into the tournament, or basically that. A new conference made up of these other schools. Are they having some discussion with the NCAA about predetermined bids that they would get, or do you just say, well, we'll eventually get those bids?
No conference gets more than one automatic bid. Everyone else is at large. There is no predetermined number of bids per conference ever, except for the champion. So the Catholic League needs to be concerned about whether, you know, when they can get an automatic bid. And really, mm-hmm. the only recent precedent for that sort of thing is when the Mountain West broke off from the WAC. The WAC used to be a 16-team league there for a few years, and the Mountain West broke off from that, and they had to wait a year to get an automatic bid. So they had 1 year where they had no automatic bid to the tournament, and I would expect something similar would happen for the Catholic School Conference or however that forms.
And I apologize. Sometimes I take it a little bit further that I know that's an automatic bid, but it seems like you're going to get 3 or 4 bids out of that conference just based on some of the teams that are in it and some of their
traditions. You know what? A few years ago, it was a one-bid league. Once you get outside the major conferences, you can't count on anything. The Missouri Valley had multiple bids for about 10 years in a row, had 4 1 year, probably could have had 6 that year, and then they've been a one-bid league now 2 or 3 years in a row. So you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because, you know, you're going into a conference, and the more bids you get, obviously the money's greater, and that's what you got to look at as well because your conference needs that revenue coming in. The Missouri Valley, which you bring up, it's a great conference for basketball. You've got Creighton, Wichita State, a number of other teams that are doing pretty well this year, and again, they're battling all the time, the Horizon League, the same way. So it is interesting to see these teams break out of the Big East. And how do you feel about that? Were you for these teams leaving the Big East, or do you think this is just crazy?
Hey, Coach, this is Joe. I'm showing that Jerry dropped. Why don't we take a break, and I'll get him back on the phone, okay?
Okay.
This is the Coach K and Joe Show. Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns,
bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles. Merry Christmas and Happy
Palmer.
New Year's from Jasper today, Milligan Communications, and the Milligan family, Joe, Liz, Ryan, Reed, Reese, and Ray.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording...
All right, tell everybody what's your name.
Dukes.
All right, Dukes. Dukes, where are you from?
Flint, Michigan.
And I never missed a game. Woo! Homegrown! Dukes is homegrown. I think you're on a little something that's homegrown, maybe. We're having fun. Dukes, what do you do for a living?
Nothing right now.
Okay. Laying low. Woo! Dukes is excited. So am I.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, we're back on the show, and we apologize. We had a little technical difficulties, and that's going to happen when you're dealing with the cell phone system. We lost... Jerry Palm
I have Jerry Palm on live, but he's got another phone call he's going to have to take here, so why don't we wrap it up with him real fast.
Okay, hey Jerry, just real quickly, I wanted to ask you, from the standpoint of the pre-conference schedules in basketball, IU, UK, U of L, does IU's pre-conference schedule, does it hurt them from an RPI standpoint, or are they just pretty basic with what everybody else has been doing this year?
It's not the worst, you know, but I think it does hurt them some if for some reason they struggle in conference play. That nobody expects that. I mean, you know, everybody thinks with good reason this is one of the best teams in the country and that's not going to be a problem. But if for some reason they start to struggle in conference play, they don't have a marquee win outside the league, then it's kind of a thing where it could become an issue for them. But I think with a team as good as they have, and what's expected of them, that's probably not going to be an issue.
Okay. Well, Jerry, I appreciate you joining us, and sorry we had a little technical difficulty.
Yeah.
I hope you'll come back and talk with us again.
Sure. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Jerry. Jerry's got to go. We're going to move into our next segment, but first we'll go to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's from Jasper Today, Milligan Communications, and the Milligan family, Joe, Liz, Ryan, Reed, Reese, and Ray.
All right, tell everybody what's your name.
Dukes.
All right, Dukes. Dukes, where are you from?
Flint, Michigan.
And I never missed a game. Woo! Homegrown! Dukes is homegrown. I think you're on a little something that's homegrown, maybe. We're having fun. Dukes, what do you do for a living?
Nothing right now.
Okay. Laying low. Woo! Dukes is excited. So am I.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Sorry for the technical difficulties there. Somehow Jerry got cut off, and then when we got him back, he realized he had to get to another phone call, another phone interview. So and now it's just Coach K, Kurt Guxell, and Joe Milligan. And Kurt, Coach has said he would give $250. I've pledged $250. Will you pledge the final $250? To buy Ed Davender's prison outfit autographed on eBay.
The great Ed Davender, really?
Yeah, $750 on eBay.
that would be worth it.
Well, Ed Davender was a nice player, but I got kids that got to go to school, Joe. I can't
yeah.
give $250 for a Kentucky autograph.
Okay.
Maybe we could call former Jasper basketball or athlete great Mike Ballinger, also a UK player for a year. Maybe he would be interested in taking that.
Yeah, I think so. But I'm decided we all get to take turns starting a subject, and my subject is first, and I'm going to say the subject, and then you guys can go ahead and comment on it. But real quick, though, Gook, did you get to read my blog and see what I gave you for Festivus this year?
Yes, something about the Cubs, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, and did you see what I bought Coach K?
Yes, a reversible jacket.
Yeah, they're out of stock right now. He's going to have to wait. But
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? Joe says they're out of stock. I'm going to have to wait. I don't think I'll ever get that jacket. He would never take the time and the money to spend on me for Christmas. So folks,
probably
don't believe
not.
Him.
But hey, okay, my subject is ready. 1, 2, 3, get ready. Jeremy Hollowell.
Jeremy Hollowell, mother is friends with somebody who is an agent professionally, and some of the information that I have heard is that there was nothing intentionally done to create an NCAA problem.
I wouldn't think so, but what's the story on that, Coach? What's going on with Jeremy Hollowell?
Well, you know, I don't know the most updated piece. I know that there was some concern because his mother was friends with a sports agent, and somewhere along the line there were conversations that went on, and I mean, this is what I'm hearing out of Bloomington, and they just want to make sure that the NCAA is clear on all of that. I do not think it's academically related. It's just making sure that they realize that IU is taking it seriously, and that there is really, they want to be sure that the NCAA is okay with everything.
Hey guys, I'd like to add someone in on the conversation. Our indie sports correspondent Don Schulteis is on the line. I'm going to add him in. Okay.
Yeah, Don, you're up at the Hall of Fame Classic, correct?
I am, and it's cooking up here. Historic Chrysler Arena, I tell you, you walk into this venue and it's just unbelievable. Right now we've got Cathedral and Jay County boys starting the second quarter. It's tied 10-10 after 8 minutes, and two other girls' games have been completed. They had to combine both girls and boys to today because of the weather, but we had the girls play earlier. The modern-day Wildcats pretty much took care of Logansport in the second game, 83-54. And HSE played Columbus North. Columbus North took care of HSE 53-30 or something like that in the two preliminary girls games. So after this Cathedral Jay County game, Indianapolis Tech is going to be playing Fort Wayne Northrop. So great day for basketball up here. I'm a little bit disappointed with the crowd, though. I mean, it's a decent crowd, but I would have expected a lot more people here.
Hey, Don, I believe for Cathedral, IU recruit Colin Hartman is not in the lineup, correct?
Yeah, you know, a couple weeks ago I've been talking about him quite a bit on my updates, and, you know, he began the year with a concussion, so he sat out the first two games, and Cathedral went 1-1. They lost to Warren Central the first game of the year by 1 point. Then he had to sit out the Broad Ripple game, which Cathedral won. Then he did play at Louisville Ballard. Louisville Ballard was the number one ranked Kentucky team, and Cathedral won by 5 points down in Louisville. But during that game, he had a freak play and ended up breaking his wrist. And so he's been out the last 2 weeks. And he's expected to come back sometime around mid-January if all goes well. But I know he's really disappointed. And Cathedral's a different team when he's on the floor because he's 6'6", 6'7", can shoot, can defend. So, I suspect this Jay County team, who's undefeated, they're 6-0, will give Cathedral everything they want.
Don, you said the crowds aren't as strong. I really thought it was a good idea, actually, for the – I know they did it because of the weather, to bring the girls and the boys teams in. I figured that it has lost some of its luster over the years. I know when I took a team up there in the 90s, the place was close – seemed to be the case anymore. Were you able to go into the Indiana High School Basketball Hall of Fame and tour that today?
Not yet. The games have been going on since 9 this morning with the two girl games. They're going to run eight games today, kind of back-to-back-to-back all the way through. I think the boys' championship game is going to end up starting at 9:15 or 9:30. But when you drive up to the venue here at Chrysler Arena, you pass right by the Hall of Fame. And my hope is after this game that I'll take my son down there and tour around, at least for a short period of time, and kind of show him what Indiana basketball is all about. Like, I think it's in an appropriate spot. This is, I'm standing up above the arena right now watching the game, and this is a great high school gym. I mean, this is a great gym in general, but to imagine Steve Alford playing his high school career here, and there was a great piece in the Indianapolis Star today that talked about Steve Alford and James Blackman and their sons. Steve Alford's son, Bryce, is a senior down at a high school in New Mexico. He averages 38.5 points. And James Blackman's son is playing for Fort Wayne Lures, and he's averaging like 37 points a game or something like that. And just to think about the next generation of those players, and you know, they played when I was in high school and played, and it's just amazing to think that Alford played his whole career here, and I think Kent Benson, and they had a great tradition here at Newcastle.
In our Indianapolis Hoops contributor Don Schulteis live from the Hall of Fame Classic in Newcastle. Thanks a lot, Don.
All right. You guys take care, and great show as usual. Bye.
So, Kurt, what do you think about another generation putting up those kind of points, Alford Blackman?
Oh, I think it's really, really – James Blackman was a great player. And in any other year, he would have been Mr. Basketball in the state of Indiana. But Steve Alford was there. So now they have sons, and – a side note to that, Steve Alford's assistant, Craig Neal, we remember him from Washington. His son is a very good player, but he plays at a rival high school in New Mexico opposite Alford's son. So they've had some battles going back and forth. So
Craig Neal was a great player for Washington. He played back in that time, probably 83-85 period, when my brother John – probably right in the 83 period. So all those guys came along together, and you just remember the one class tournament, and you'd get those games on TV, and you'd see those shootouts with Blackman and Alford playing and putting up those kind of points. They were just and Craig Neal could score from anywhere. He had those big, long arms, long legs for Washington, and that's a great time in high school basketball, and to see – not just their sons coming up, but to be playing at that level. Wow, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's really neat.
You know, if only Joe could have played at that level when he was in high school, then his kids could be playing at, well, they'll play at a better level with Joe anyway.
Well, I I actually had to play with you, so there was no chance to shoot. You pass the ball and you don't even look for it to come back to you. You just go to the rim because you know that he's going to shoot, and 60% of the time he was going to miss, and so you had a chance at a rebound.
You know, Joe, I just want to touch base on the Jerry Palm interview. I really was disappointed that we had the cell phone problems that happened. He represents a side of sports that the normal fan, the physical side, sees, but the statistical, the computer side, the brain side of things from an athletic standpoint and how these teams are ranked and what they're capable of and scheduling and really to talk to Jerry and get that opportunity to spend some time with him and break into that so fans could better understand it, you'd almost need a good half hour.
Yeah, we'll get him back on. What I found interesting about him is how schools and conferences are consulting with him about how to schedule so that they could, for their strength of schedule reasons. I'm not sure if Tom Crean consulted him this year.
Oh, Kurt, will he ever get off that?
No, he won't, but that's what you got to do. You got to play. You have to play somebody, so you might as well play somebody bad. If you're going to have a home game, you got to. No, I mean, I'm serious. What do you expect him to do? Nobody else is going to come and play there.
Then maybe play a game away from home?
Well,
you've got to fund. I hate to hit below the belt, but you've got to fund some of those other sports, and everybody does it. Purdue does it. Notre Dame does it. Kentucky does it. Louisville does it. Everybody does it.
Not on.
I was up at watching Butler and the Aces over the weekend.
I was there too. I missed you.
Where were you at?
Yeah, I was.
You should have hooked up.
I saw John there and to get a chance to talk to him. You know, I just had a visit with Michael after the game. In fact, when I talked to him, he was still looking for you. So,
well, I didn't know if Coach Lewis, Butler's assistant, would have time right after the game. So I went ahead with Don and John and we went to a local establishment, and Coach Lewis joined us later for some very, very good basketball talk. Among other things. But, Kurt, since you were there, let's just talk a little bit about this Aces team. You know, they don't have, going into conference play against Creighton, they don't have what you call a signature win, but they played good basketball. They've won more than they've lost. And I thought, you know, I didn't expect Butler to come out with the mental sharpness that they had and physical sharpness they had against IU, especially just coming off that win. But still, they come into a packed house at Hinkle Fieldhouse. And, folks, if you haven't been to Hinkle, great place to watch basketball. It was a packed house. And I thought U of E did the things they needed to do to disrupt Butler, to put themselves in a position to be in the game. And even with under 30 seconds, they were two possessions away.
Well, it was about 3 minutes to go, and Coach Stevens mentioned it after the game. He thought his guys were taking Christmas break early because they were all scattering after that game to go on Christmas break. And, yeah, they kind of pulled away from U of E midway through the second half, but with about 3 minutes to go, it was still tight. And one thing that I know that Michael was impressed with U of E, you know, they've got some parts that maybe not fit together right now, but as you would expect, the Marty Simmons team, they play really, really hard. I know people throw that out about when you don't have good things to say about a team, you know, that they play hard. But in this case, they really do play hard.
Yeah, I thought they played extremely hard. I thought they did a great job of stepping out and destroying the ball screen. They disrupted some of the cuts. In fact, I thought that U of E staff, who I watched as I was watching the game several times, just focused in on the staff, how emotionally involved they were in that game, because for them, this was a big signature game for them to come up and play a top 20 team, a team coming off a win over the number one team. Doesn't matter whether you catch them up or catch them down. What matters is you got an opportunity to play a team that you can get some press and also find out where you're at. And I thought they did a great job of disrupting a lot of what Butler wanted to do. And Coach Stevens just does a great job of running his sets and making adjustments, and he was able to do that. But one of the things that has plagued U of E the past few years is Marty's ability to bring in what I call a solid big man or big men. He's just, it's just been a hard recruiting position for him. I think he's got some guys that can grow into those spots. They did a nice job. But on the other end, all his perimeter players, key perimeter people, are seniors. So as those guys are coming up, he's got to bring in and reconnect some of the perimeter players. Ballantyne, who is an Indianapolis area native, is a really nice player for U of E, although he didn't have the game against Butler that I'm sure Marty would have liked him to have. I really think that U of E, from athletic standpoint, some of the key spots, if they can just plug in another piece or two, I think they can move themselves up into that upper four or five teams in the Missouri Valley.
Oh, I do too. I think in the way those leagues go, you got to protect your home court and maybe sneak some wins out on the road. And other than Creighton, that's up for grabs. I know Indiana State had a nice weekend out in Hawaii where they beat an SEC team in Ole Miss, then beat Miami of Florida in the third-place game. So, you know, I think Indiana State's in the same boat as Evansville. You know, try to, you know, get your home games and steal a couple on the road and get into that upper echelon.
Yeah, and if you haven't been out to see the Aces, you need to do that. I was very impressed watching that game. Come on out to the new Ford Center in Evansville and watch them play. And what a great conference, Kurt. I mean, the Missouri Valley, I mean, there's a lot of parity, but you do have those teams. And Indiana State's proven it, Creighton, Wichita State. I mean, they can go on and they can play what we call the big conference schools and be very, very competitive, just as Indiana State did in Hawaii.
Yeah, I think so, because, again, that's one of those leagues where the home court's a big advantage, and those teams that can, again, stay on their home court and win, you got a chance to be in that league top five, top six, and set yourself up good for the conference tournament.
Guys, we're getting towards the end of the year. 2012 is soon to be gone. When you look back at the sports year, what are the highs and lows? Anybody got any highs or lows in the sports year, whether it be male, female, whether it be pro sports, college, high school? Anything that comes to mind that was a highlight or a disappointment for you in 2012?
Joe, go ahead. I mean, there's just so much stuff, and I can't think of anything right offhand. It's just all flowing together here at the end of the year.
It'd probably be the female gymnasts at the Olympics. How good they did.
Yeah, the Olympics were very interesting, both in the gymnastics and the swimming. I think for me. And there's, Kurt, it's just like you said, there's just a lot of things, and that was a tough question to throw out at you. I think one of the highlights for me, and it's only because I've watched him play his whole career in Indianapolis, is to see Peyton Manning go into this tremendous injury, surgery situation, so many doubters, go to a new team. Whether you say, Denver had all the players, whatever you want to say about it, but he's gone over there and just resurrected what I don't know that his career need to be resurrected, but the way everybody had said it was over, it's just been phenomenal and exciting for me to see. I'm kind of a loyalist, guys. I'm not going to lie. And you attach yourself to certain players and certain teams as they go through. You don't want to see their career end. And to see Peyton Manning come back, go to Denver, and not flop, like some people thought he might do, but actually come out and be as good precision-wise and getting things done. That's just been a great story, at least as from where I'm coming from. I think it's been a great story.
He's done a great job. I think the Colts, though, had to do what they did, though, because, you know, the uncertainty of the situation and, you know, the Broncos are benefiting from it now. But, you know, the Colts have a bright future with Andrew Luck, though. So, I mean, it was a good trade-off for them, but I'm also happy to see Peyton Manning do what he's done, though. I mean, he's just a winner, you know. He's going to do whatever he wants to do, so.
Yeah, and I thought once he was deemed healthy, I thought he could have a season like he had. I know this is going to sound, going back to your original question, I know Joe will probably get a chuckle, but the return of Indiana basketball back to a Sweet 16 type of level, I mean, I don't care who you root for.
Yeah, it's
that's
a big story.
That's got to stand down a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
so,
that's a big
you know,
story.
To be relevant again, and there's just all kinds of, there's a lot of stuff locally that happened, you know, teams that continue to play well in their postseason. There's always, you know, several around here that do very well. So it's just going to be a, not only do you look back at stuff, you kind of look forward, because this basketball season that will end in March and you get into the spring sports, you know, to set that new year up for another exciting year.
Oh, I think so. And, you know, this is the time of year when things are culminating in some sports and yet starting to really rev up in others. We're in the middle of the bowl period, and Western Kentucky goes for the win, falls a little short. Any thoughts on their decision?
Not at all. That guy is going to be swept out the door. He's going to South Florida with Willie Taggart. It's no skin off his back if they go for that you don't even know if you're going to even win the game if you tie it up and go to overtime. You don't even know if you're going to win the game if you complete that pass. I was a little shocked about the play that they ran. You know, they threw the ball down the field when you needed just 3 or 4 yards to extend your drive.
Yeah.
But these bowl games, you know, these are supposed to be like rewards for seasons. I mean, people just, they don't care. People don't care. I mean, FFO crowds, friends and family only at these. How do these bowls survive? I mean, you watch these games and there's nobody there. I mean, would you want to go?
And you know what's amazing?
The fans don't even want to go.
Yeah, and a lot of times it actually costs the university more than they get to be
right.
in the bowl. I mean,
but
it costs them more money.
And that's why you play your 6 or 7 home games against bad, bad teams so you can afford to send your team to these weed eater bowls or whatever they're called. But, you know,
yep.
it's great. I mean, still, if you're a college football fan, I still watch it. It may have to do with the fact I'm in, like, one of those confidence pools. So they make them, it makes it bearable to watch some of these. But, I mean, really, I mean, next time you turn on one of these games, I'm sure there's some on today. It's, I mean, it's lower level seating at best, and it's still spotty. But I guess if you're a fan of one of those teams, you like to watch it or whatever. I know, you know, Purdue's going to the bowl because they had a decent season, but whatever. But, you know, and they'll be excited about their game. And, you know, obviously we're excited about the Notre Dame-Alabama game. But, I mean, there's 37 of these bowl games, and nobody goes. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I got to touch national championship tickets the other day. Dr. Jeff Harmon showed me his. I was like, wow, can I have these and sell them? But I think
you know, I'm looking forward to the Notre Dame-Alabama, and I'm looking forward to a few other bowl games.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. But it's just weird.
It's overkill, isn't it, Kurt? Because you're not getting the quality. You're not getting the real quality you think you're getting just because a team is bowl eligible.
Well, yeah, it's the weirdest thing in the world. In a couple of months, they're going to have baseball spring training. They play exhibition games before the season. In football, college football, they play the exhibition games after the season. Every game you turn on, they're playing without a coach. It's an interim coach, or that coach has been fired, or this coach is going to take over this team. You know, I mean, it's college football's always been screwed up the way they've, you know, gone about it, and it's going to continue to be screwed up even when they have the 14 playoff, although that's going to be a little better to determine a champion. But
yeah.
But I get, I mean, you know, I being a college football fan, I got to admit I do watch some of this stuff, but it's just totally weird. Is this team going to play hard? Is this team going to try to impress the new coach? Or some of these seniors on some of these bowl teams, they don't care what happens. There are so many dynamics to all these games. It's unbelievable how maybe important they are, or in some cases, how ill-important they are.
And some of the decisions on pairing these teams up, you know, Cincinnati and Duke, it was a good game, okay? It'd be
a great
basketball
game,
but it was a good game in football. It was entertaining to watch. But really, if Cincinnati's had the solid football program that it's had, the last few years, and it has. Let's face it, it has. Why are they playing Duke at 6-6? I mean, I don't care what you tell me about ACC and all this. I mean, why aren't they playing somebody a little better than Duke? And, oh, well, they're contracted. That's the baloney of the bowl games, in my opinion. You've got one team that would be really interesting to watch, and they're playing a team you're like, why are they playing? It's bizarre. I don't think of Duke as a great football program. And I'll tell you what, Kurt, ACC, I don't think is great football. And 6-6 is not great football.
No, and that's, you know, the bowl system is set up because the college football coaches and their association will never get rid of it because that's how some of these guys keep their jobs. They say, well, we went to a bowl game. But you know what? 37 times two, they go to a bowl game. I mean, that's not the measuring stick that it once was when you had six of them on New Year's Day and you were fired up about watching football all day. Those were the teams that deserved something. But, you know, and plus, like Michigan State, they're going to go out and play in the Insight Bowl where Indiana played a few years ago. How many Michigan State fans are going to go out there to watch that? One of the best bowl games going is one like the Motor City Bowl. If I watched all these games, with the Western game that you talked about with Central Michigan, they had more people than anybody because if Indiana Purdue went there before, they take all kinds of fans there. It's a one-day deal. You go up there, you have fun, you play in a nice venue, Ford Field. Players have all kinds of good stuff, you know, given to them, and they take care of them at that bowl. Then you're done with it. But to think that Michigan State fans or Indiana fans or whoever are going to go fly out to an Insight Bowl for an exhibition game, it's just totally screwed up.
Hey, guys, you know, it's getting to the end of the show, much like it's getting to the end of the year. And just wanted to ask what your New Year's resolutions are going to be. Do we have any?
Kurt can go first. I'll have to think here.
I've got to get in better physical condition. I try. Let's just put it that way. And not to be so negative on bad basketball that I watch.
New Year's resolution for me, everybody always says better physical conditioning, and
right.
Lord, I know I need to. Otherwise, I don't know, just to get myself in a position to do a better job on this show so I can pick up where Joe falls flat.
Okay. My resolution is I'm going to teach Kenny to do the technical part of the show. No, mine is going to be that I'm going to be more forgiving of Matt Painter in 2013.
Well, you should, because they're going to get better later on in the season.
I sure hope so, because, my God, dude, I read they're 256th in field goal percentage in Division I basketball. How many teams are there? My God.
Joe, I can't wait till we get you going on Matt Painter and Purdue, and we surprise you with Matt Painter on the show. So beware, that could happen in 2013.
No, I'm going to be good because, you know, as Michael Lewis said when we were off air, he wanted to come back in his next life as a fan, so he's always right.
Hey, Kurt, were you able to watch any of the Cincinnati-New Mexico game? Basketball?
I watched a little bit of it. It was
really,
all right.
I mean, it went down to the wire, and I think New Mexico kind of shot, you know, New Mexico was like 12-1 coming in or something like that. I think they kind of shocked Cincinnati a little bit on Cincinnati's home court, and it made me question a little bit if Cincinnati might be just a tad overrated. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Cincinnati, they had that big win against Xavier. They were coming off that, and it was going to be tough to play against the New Mexico team. But they've been all over the place. Heck, they came to Terre Haute, for Christ's sake, to play against Indiana State and beat them barely in overtime. But Alford takes his, you know, team around or whatever. But, yeah, I'm looking for these conference games to start. Indiana has one Monday afternoon. They play at Iowa. I mean, normally Indiana-Iowa, whatever, but it's the start of the conference season. I'm looking forward to the big game tomorrow, and I'm right in the battlefield. In fact, I just left the Louisville practice facility tomorrow, Louisville and Kentucky at the Yum Center.
And let's take a couple minutes to talk about that. But first, I want to remind our listeners that we'll be ending the show, the live portion of the show, here in just a few seconds. But we will continue on into the podcast. And so they can come back and join us on the podcast, which is usually up and ready to go right away. And so they can go through the show and then catch the last part of the podcast. But that is going to be an interesting game. It's a game in which a young Kentucky team goes up against a veteran, pretty experienced Louisville team, even though Louisville is still without their center, correct?
Well, he's supposedly going to play tomorrow.
Great.
When he got hurt, Coach Pitino said that he will be back after the first of the year. If you know anything about Pitino and the way he deals with injuries, he's kind of like the Tony La Russa, the Cardinal way. You really don't get the straight scoop, or you never really got the straight scoop coming from them. But now Zhang's going to play tomorrow. They're going to put him right in there. And then got all the Kentucky fans talking about how Pitino's lying again about injuries. But maybe he was telling the truth back then when he said he was hurt. But he will be in the lineup tomorrow. Those Kentucky freshmen, I don't think they're the difference makers that, you know, you have the Anthony Davises or the John Walls, or these guys are going to be really good players, but it's a whole different ball game that they're going to go into tomorrow in the Young Center. That place will be amped, as it always is. And these people down here, I mean, we love our basketball in Indiana, but here you're either U of L or you're Kentucky, and it's 365 days a year. I mean, on national scope, or maybe in Indiana, we'll watch this game and go, okay, you know, Louisville, Kentucky, okay. But talk shows down here on TV, fans, it only rivals Auburn, Alabama about the way they feel about this basketball game. Because if you win,
know, Kurt, just your thoughts on this, but I feel like there's just such a gap between the perimeter play of Kentucky and Louisville. I just feel like Louisville has such a big edge. If the Louisville perimeter players play within themselves, they just seem to have such a big edge on Kentucky this year.
Well, because it starts with Peyton Siva. I mean, he's been in this game and been in college basketball for 4 years, but he has not beaten a Kentucky team. He's 0-3 against, or actually 0-4 since they played in the Final Four. He's 0-4 against Kentucky, but he is one of the top point guards in the country. The two-guard situation, they got to hit some shots, and that sounds cliche-ish, but a guy like Luke Hancock, he's got to step out and hit shots. Wayne Blackshear, they got to hit shots. And Kentucky's guys can't get rattled. I mean, you got Harrow, who's starting to come on a little bit, had a big game against Marshall at the point, the transfer from North Carolina State. He's got to play all right. You don't know what you're going to get from Wiltshire. Nerlens Noel, they're expecting a big game out of him against that good Kentucky front line, especially if Zhang plays. So, you know, again, in most cases you say, hey, Louisville's the favorite, probably 7 or 8 points if you look at the line. But in this game, you just don't know. I mean, the Cal Pitino thing, it's going to be very fascinating basketball viewing tomorrow at 4:00.
Well, it's a great story, and it's great basketball to think about and to get ready to watch. I really think that this is an important game for those Kentucky youngsters, for those freshmen. I mean, this is the type of game where the Anthony Davises and the Kid Gilchrists and those kind of game, these are the kind of games that those guys stepped it up, that they went from being freshmen to big-time college players and potentially the next level. So I don't really care what the UK kids, the kid pack has done before this. This is the kind of stage that you're on. This is the kind of situation where you come up and become a player and not a freshman. And I think that I'm sure that Coach Cal has been pushing these guys, not as, hey, you got to be better. You got to, you know, as a freshman, you got to be better. No, as a Kentucky Wildcat basketball player, this is the center stage that you want to be on, because let's face it, you're not high overhyping this thing at all. This is blood and guts in Kentucky. This is blood and guts for UL and UK fans. I mean, this matters, and these guys have an opportunity to step up and show that they're the next crop of great young players at Kentucky.
Well, I think so. Again, it's the part of the process because Kentucky's interested, as all teams, is how you're going to play once March rolls around. And this is just another step. Of course, we all know that they've played their easy games at home, and now they're going to go on the road, kind of like a conference game would be, although really, really amped up. And this is just a progression in the way that Calipari or Patino or Green or Knight or Krzyzewski molds a team for the postseason. You make this step. You play all your home games or whatever. Now you go on the road in a hostile environment. Then the next step, you're in the conference play, and then you're in the March. And Cal wants to see his guys get to that step, and this is, again, part of the progression.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game, and there's some other great college games that are going to be going on. Let's jump over the NBA real quick, Kurt. Avery Johnson, Brooklyn Nets, starts out 11-4, wins NBA Coach of the Month 2 months running, gets into December. The cycle goes down. You know, there's ebbs and flows. The NBA is such a long season, and there's ebbs and flows throughout it. I know they spent a lot of money. I'm not sure what they spent a lot of money on in Brooklyn. I do think they have some good players, but I spent a lot of money. And he gets fired. They're 14-14 at the time, something like that. The NBA, billionaire owners, no patience, and we saw it out in L.A. I still think that if Nash would have been healthy, Mike Brown would still be the coach out in L.A., but that's neither here nor there. Thoughts on Avery Johnson?
Well, there's a guy, is a big common denominator in driving coaches nuts. His name is Darren Williams. He played for Illinois. Jerry Sloan had enough of him and said, I'm done with this. I'm in Utah. And then you got him in New Jersey now. I mean, they pay a lot of money for him, and he's great, point guard or whatever. But he's probably a guy that caused a lot of havoc in that locker room or with Avery Johnson. So that's where a lot of the NBA people are pointing at. And again, the only way the Nets clean this up, suppose we're going to go after Phil Jackson. And nobody's going to argue with Phil Jackson if you're a player. If you do, then you're stupid. But, I mean,
well, you would think that
Phil
Jackson would be interested. Right now they're saying, at least as of yesterday, he's not interested, but that could have been to up to
him. Because he doesn't want to go on road games. He doesn't want to go to road games without practice. I went to a high school football coach that didn't like the practice, but he liked the games. I mean, wouldn't that be a great gig, Coach, if you were coaching? I'm not going on the road. You know, we got this game in Vincennes. You know, the houses are pretty good. I'll turn it over to somebody else. I mean, Phil Jackson's Phil Jackson. I understand that. He's got 20 rings or whatever. But some of those demands, those get me kind of tired, more out.
Become that good that you could pull that off in the NBA? Would somebody actually do that, take their highest paid guy, CEOs basically of the team, and he can stay home half the games? God, I can't imagine that happening.
Oh, that's a great gig if you can get it.
Imagine that happening. I just can't. You know, the NBA, there are so many good things about the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
We saw the great times with Bird and Magic and Jordan and those guys, and we went through the little hip-hop period, and if you're a hip-hop fan out there, I'm sorry, I'm not, and I'm not apologizing for it. And, you know, we're back to where we've got some pretty good basketball. The Lakers are trying to find themselves. I got to ask you something, Kurt. I'll tell you what, I may be totally out of this, but I heard somebody make the comment yesterday that Dwight Howard was the key to the Lakers' success. I just absolutely disagree with that. I mean, when you look at the Lakers going forward, I'm telling you what, I think a great point guard, healthy point guard, being able to run that offense, get the ball where it needs to go, allow Kobe to be what he needs to be, somebody to receive the ball and then do something. And if Howard just rebounds and hits the shots, it all falls into place from there. But if you don't have somebody running that show out front, you're not going to do anything anyway, because you got to get the offense started and you got to have somebody to key the defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. How can you have a Kobe Bryant or a Steve Nash or a team say that they're not most important? But have you ever not had a guy that maybe, you know, if you're a success on your team hinged on whether, you know, he bought in or he came to practice. Maybe he wasn't the biggest key component, but if you could just have him on board, that would elevate your game. And that's what I see Dwight Howard. I mean, he's, you know, kind of here, there, whatever kind of type of player, but I can see where somebody would say that. Would you agree from a coaching standpoint if you had a guy like that come along with you instead of fighting you all the time, that that could make you a better team or make it a key?
Oh, well, I agree from that standpoint. If he's doing a Darren Williams or something like that, and you know, you might be right. That might be who Dwight Howard really is. I mean, we went through the things in Orlando with him. You know, he basically got a coach shown the door. And he decided my back hurts, my back doesn't hurt, I'm on board, I'm not on board, I'm ready to play. He doesn't show up ready to play. But, you know, L.A. had to know what they were getting when they brought him in, but I still think that the time that Nash was out allowed some of the weaknesses to really be seen in this team. And if Nash can come back and stay healthy, I think we'll see how he can overshadow some of those weaknesses, and they're going to be better most nights than they are bad.
Oh, I think so. I mean, it's just amazing how one player, especially a point guard, what he can do. And not only the morale, but once you get out there on the court and the way he can play. So, I mean, I expect the Lakers to just keep on getting better. And they're kind of a team, kind of like the Miami Heat. You know, they can go through maybe the regular season and with that roster and being, you know, more veteran, that all that matters anyway is the playoffs. Kind of, I wouldn't say coast, but just get through it and see what the postseason has to bring.
All right, let's hit one last thing before we call it a day, and let's talk Notre Dame, Alabama. Got the big game coming up on the 7th. Alabama, you know, we've been hearing about Saban going somewhere else eventually. You know, chatter. A distraction. I don't know if it is or not. Alabama has to bring it defensively. They've got an experienced bowl quarterback. Notre Dame has to bring it defensively. They've had a freshman quarterback that's gotten better throughout the year. Give us your thoughts at this point. We still got a week to go, but give us your thoughts at this point about that matchup, Kurt.
I don't think if everybody's predicting this big Alabama win. I don't see it. I think that month off, I mean, could you imagine, you know, coaching a team you coached a month to get better, to analyze the other team, to break the game down? And I think Notre Dame and Brian Kelly, they're going to give Alabama all they want. I mean, again, it's the Notre Dame defense against McCarron. And Lacey, what those guys do in the running back spots for Alabama, I just think it's going to be close. And it's really a hard game to break down because it's not like one team's a good team and the other team's horrible. These are two really good teams with two really good coaches and really, really good players. So, I mean, I think it's going to be tight the whole way. And maybe next week we'll see who's injured, who's not going to play, and things like that you can get a better handle on it. But from right now, maybe a week or two out, I think it's going to be really tight.
Is there any chance, and I mean any chance, that this turns into an offensive game in which both sides score a lot of points instead of the defensive game of attrition that most people are thinking about?
Well, I think you can, because, again, playing defense against really good defense is tough. Because those guys know when they're going on the field. Those guys, coaches have schemed. They've done a lot of different things to work against these defenses. And it's tough to play defense against really good. And both these teams have shown capabilities of having good offense. So in these games, these bowl games, especially one for the national championship, it wouldn't surprise me if it became a shootout. Because these teams are able to adapt. I mean, you get some teams, you know, hey, we can't have this game in the 30s and 40s, or we're never going to have a chance. But I think both these teams are well-equipped, if they have to survive a shootout. I mean, Nick Saban may have a heart attack if something like this happens, because he's Mr. Defense. But Brian Kelly, on the other hand, although he's improved the Notre Dame defense, he's got some offensive roots and offensive history. So, no, to answer your question, I don't think it would be a surprise.
Well, I think it's great. I think it's great for college football when Notre Dame is relevant, and they are. I think it's even greater for college football when the two most storied programs in football, college football, Alabama and Notre Dame, are matching up for a national championship. And I know to the boy, that took a lot of brilliance to come up with. But, you know, we haven't seen this in a while, and a lot of people wondered if it would ever happen again where you'd get Notre Dame out there, and it's done. It's done in a year in which Notre Dame came in, what, unranked, basically, and in the BCS, and they moved themselves up, and they're in the championship game with Alabama. So I think it's pretty awesome, and I can't wait to see the showdown. My last thing, and we may have something else before we close up, I just thought of something that I'm tired of in 2012, and I'm going to let it out. And, guys, maybe Mike Greenberg would agree with me or not. I am tired of the circus that is the New York Jets. I am tired of Rex Ryan and whatever game he plays up there. It's always someone else's fault. It's always something that's wrong. I mean, they've spent money. They've brought in players. They've gotten rid of players. I don't know who's really running the team or coaching the team. It's chaos for the New York Jets, and they need to do something, and they need to make sure it gets done at the end of this year.
I just turn it off. When the Jets talk, because I'm not a big Jets fan, never have been, but it's just nauseating to listen to that you think people care. I mean, I guess you do if you're in the Northeast or you're in New York, but it's just tiresome. And again, you know, what did they think was going to happen with Tim Tebow? He's the most polarizing athlete perhaps in the country. Whether he's good, bad, who, you know, that's for someone else to decide. But you go swimming in that pool, you're going to get this controversy and stuff like that. So I just try not to pay attention to the Jets. I focus on teams are playing well, teams are going to play in the playoffs, the good matchups, and go from there. I mean, I just the Jets whole thing, no, it doesn't interest me at all.
And whether it's Tim Tebow or some other guy, at some point you bring a guy in, you make him your number two quarterback, you have a crappy season, you got a Mark Sanchez who I've got nothing against Mark Sanchez, but he hadn't had a great year. He doesn't have some of the weapons he should have, but you never give the guy a chance to go out on the field. I mean, what's that all about? I mean, is there something? Does he dislike Tim Tebow? Is this some way to get back at the brand that is Tim Tebow? I mean, to never put the guy out on the field, and I'm talking about an extended period of time when your season was lost anyway. I don't care about, oh, well, the commentators think that Rex would get backlash if Tim came on and they happened to win the next two games. I don't give a crap. Put the guy out on the field and let him see if he can fail or whether he can succeed.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to get back at the ownership or the general manager in saying that, you know, we're trying to fight for a division title. We're trying to get better, and you're going to bring this circus to me when I really don't want that. And to that, I may side with Rex Ryan, you know, on something like that. You know, I mean, if he really didn't, because, I mean, you know, it's to Bill Parcells, you know, he always said, you know, they want me to cook the dinner, but they won't let me shop for the groceries. You know, I mean, maybe I'll give Rex Ryan a benefit of the doubt there. But for if your season's going down the drain and you've got bad quarterback play, what's it going to hurt?
Speaking of seasons going down the drain, what about the Bears? I mean, the Bears are in a situation where a few weeks ago these guys were on top and Jay Cutler was looking good, and then he gets hurt again, and the Bears start to dismantle again for, what, fourth or fifth year in a row, something like that. They got to have a win and some help to make the playoffs.
Well, again, it all goes back to, I believe, this. They have a bad offensive line to begin with, and whatever Cutler was doing, he was doing on his own. And then when guys like Urlacher go down, and they're so defined by that defense, And that's where a lot of the Bears people trace it back to. A guy like Urlacher going down, and they had some other injuries on the defensive side of the ball. And with Cutler, you know, he's going to do his thing. He's going to throw interceptions because he sometimes doesn't want to do what it takes to play the quarterback position the right way. I mean, he's the first to get in guys' faces all the time and tell them that they're not doing what he's supposed to. But when somebody suggests that he throw the ball better or he use better mechanics or he do this or that, he doesn't want to do that. And that's part of that's on him. But I think the overriding factor is when you got guys hurt on defense when they're so defensive-oriented.
Well, you know, Kurt, and I'm not – I like Jay Cutler, and I think he's a great talent.
Yeah.
I think he's a solid quarterback, but at some point you got to find a way to lift your team up and get them over the hump, and he continues to try to do that, but here the Bears are facing it again. And so if you're a Cubs fan and then a Bears fan, I mean, just life is pretty tough. You're on a roller coaster that goes down a heck of a lot more than it goes up. Joe, are you still with us or what?
Hey, someone's got to do the work. I've been working on the website, already getting the podcast on there so people can start listening to it.
Great.
So, I've been doing that. Plus, you know, I'm a Bengal fan, and when NBA, NFL talk about anyone else, it just kind of gets tuned out, you know? The Houdet Bengals have a real defense and some charismatic offensive players, and I'm excited about that.
Well, you should be because they're hanging tough again. The Bengals are found their way in.
Yeah,
Kurt, what do you got going on this weekend?
Well, I'm on vacation. Like I told you earlier, I'm down in I'm right in the eye of the tornado down in Louisville, so I haven't had any high school basketball for the week. It'll resume for me next Friday, so kind of enjoying some vacation. So,
you were up on the Bellarmine campus, right?
Yeah, I got a chance to talk to Scotty Davenport. He was a longtime coach at Ballard, coached a lot of those great players at Ballard. He was on Patino's staff. Now he's the head coach at Butler. They won the national championship a couple of years ago. And he's a really good guy. And Chance Dugan, who used to be at Southern Indiana, is the women's coach at Bellarmine now after being at Florida Atlantic for several years as the head coach. So she's back in her hometown, and she's trying to get that program at Bellarmine going a little bit. And she's very energetic. I had a chance to watch some of their workouts. So it was kind of neat to go to different places and see a little bit of basketball. So looking forward to getting back, though, to the high school ranks.
Well, Louisville and Kentucky and at times Western, they get a lot of the press, but that Bellarmine Knights program, they got a great program, both the boys and the girls. They've got a good, solid program, plus a great place to go to school at.
It's a really good athletic situation. They've got a nice place to play, and they've got a couple of good coaches there in their men's and women's basketball program. So, it was kind of neat seeing the way they run some things, and just if you're a basketball fan, to get involved in that.
The only thing that would make your trip better to Louisville would be if Mike Lennox was still open, but you're going to have to wait till the spring for that.
Oh, yeah, John, I did. I drove past Ryan's old stomping grounds on Archtown Road. So.
Our Assumption High School,
yep.
Home of the Rockets.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, as we end up this show for this Friday, I'm going to be in just a few minutes heading over to Bossy High School to watch their Winter Classic basketball. They've got eight coming in for four games. Harrison's playing, a team from Ohio. Bossy is playing the top-ranked team in Ohio. That'll be a great game. Jaquan Lyle is playing great basketball. Princeton will be matching up with a team, and Evansville North will be matching up with a team.
Yeah.
So four good games throughout the afternoon and into the evening, and a lot of basketball to watch. And, of course, Jasper will be at Central. And then there's just a lot of other basketball going on in the area. Good high school basketball. Your kids are home. They're on break. It's the weekend. Take them out. Watch some good high school basketball.
Coach, I think Billy Diamond's going to be in town today for the
Jaquan Lyle show.
If I get a chance, I'll pop down and talk to Billy and say, I'm sure you're familiar with a guy by the name of Kurt Gooksell. He'll know who you are, right?
Yeah, I guess. Going back, because I'm talking about this vacation deal and not having any games, when you coached, did you prefer to have games over break, or did you prefer to practice? I know some teams play in these, you know, like the Graver Post Tournament or the PSC, where, you know, you play three straight nights, or maybe a Jasper's case where you just play one game, or, you know, there's these one-game tournaments. What did you like? I know you've done both over Christmas break.
Tell you what, I would rather have the break time. I'd rather have a game leading up to Christmas, maybe a couple days before, play the game, be done with it, go through Christmas into the new year with nothing, no practice, no game. Mentally, I think, and physically, I think it's good for everybody. Maybe open the gym, let them come in and shoot around. But, Kurt, I got to tell you something. You know, it doesn't matter how long you coach. It's stressful because you're preparing, and your kids may not look at it the same way, but coaching staffs, if you care about what you do, you're preparing. You never take the time to relax and enjoy the Christmas break period with your family the way you would like to. I know for me, winning that game going into the Christmas break made it even better, because I'll tell you, I can remember many of Christmases thinking about how we should have done this or could have done that to get that win. And if you get that win, you go in and you say, well, I'm not going to worry about anything for at least 48 hours and enjoy Christmas. But that's what growing up in a basketball family was like, a coaching family, and then being a coach yourself. You spend most of the holidays talking basketball, talking coaching anyway, and it's nice if you've got a win and a break in between games to go into it. But I can see why they play the tournaments, but I know it's a lot of work for athletic directors and for coaching staffs and for players.
Well, I'm not a big fan of it, because I'm like, we've talked about this before, about crowds and about different things. I mean, these seem like you can play three nights in a row. It just seems like it's like an AAU situation. I know as a coach, probably you don't prepare as well. And that's part of the fun, preparing for the next game and breaking things down. And I think basketball on the high school level should be played on Friday and Saturday nights when there are big crowds in the stands. But on the flip side, I think a couple of these tournaments, like the one up at North Davies, they do it because they involve programs like Bar Reeve, like North Davies, like Orleans, like Forest Park, where they do bring fans, and the ADs can't pass that money up. And that, those are rare tournaments like that. But for the most part, it's not a good crowd situation. And I just think it's special to be playing in front of a big crowd. But in a couple of these tournaments, I think they do make the money and they do have good basketball. And I guess there's a benefit to that. But going back to some of the coaches I talked to in some of these tournaments, we don't prepare as much. We just, basically do our thing and see what we can do. But they say on the flip side of that, though, you're going to play against good teams. You would have liked to prepare and liked to take some stuff away. But you know what? I guess it's basketball. And if you like basketball and you like going to these tournaments, I guess they're fine.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Kurt, I've done it both, and I would prefer not to do it. The first time we did it was fun. It was different. It was exciting. But after you do it a couple years in a row, it's taxing. And I struggled not preparing. I mean, I want to take a team out there and be prepared, because that team is a reflection of its coaching staff. And, you know, no matter what, coaches get the crap anyway, as much as they get the appreciation and they get the crap. And when your team goes out there and doesn't play well or it's not prepared, you know, you feel like it's a reflection of you. I'd rather have the time off and with the family. And, boy, your kids grow up quick. Believe me, I got one graduating college. I got one getting ready to go to college. And I got one in sixth grade. They grow up quick. And so that holiday time is nice to with them. Joe, that's it for me. That's it for me. What, if you got something to add, or we can call it a Friday, what do you want to do?
Well, I'm done. I'm fine. I'm all talked out. You know, I've talked so much last hour that I just don't know what I'll say.
Joe, you did a great job. I know how important a good engineer is to these
broadcast. So I appreciate your effort.
You know, he does do a great job. He helps get, I mean, when you think about our show and to our listeners, I mean, we get some great, great guests. And you know, to have people from CBSSports.com, the Big Ten Network, pro players, college coaches. I mean, we do have Kurt Duxell. I mean, we got a great show. And, Joe, I give you a lot of credit as we end 2012 in getting these people lined up and things ready to go. So thank you very much, Joe.
All right. Hey, Joe, Kenny, next week we'll talk some Jasper Vincennes, Southridge Dubois on the high school basketball front. So it gets back to some real games. So looking forward to it.
That's awesome. And right now we're working on doing a live remote. So if that happens for next week, we'll let everybody know ahead of time and where we're going to be. And we hope maybe that'll bring some people out with some questions and things. But 2013, we're looking to expand our show and change some things up. And, Joe, as we end this this particular show, you might want to comment on that.
Yeah, starting next week, we are going to be going switching from 10 to noon instead of from 11 to 1, looking at some of the numbers. I think it's what's best for the show. So we will be doing it from 10 a.m. till noon, and we'll make announcements on Facebook and et cetera. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to WAXL Steve Kolb, who I text last night during the Heritage Hills, right before the Heritage Hills game, since Matt was kind of a late addition, and Steve was able to give us a couple plugs on the radio about Matt being on the show. So Steve Kolb, I appreciate that. Wanted to send word out to him. And Kurt, I know that you know we've got a lot of really good announcers in this area as far as play-by-play man, you included, but Steve Kolb and the whole gang, there's just so many good ones around here. We're very spoiled, and you're in Louisville, and if you went around Louisville and talked to people about their local sports on the radio, you'd find out that it's very non-existent, and we're blessed to have WBDC, WITZ, WXL, WRZR, and the Herald and people like that cover sports on the high school level.
Yeah, no doubt. Everybody does a good job because it's kind of like coaching. You're out a lot. You're working pretty hard, but if you like doing it, it just doesn't seem like it's very hard at all. So, a lot of good people. So looking forward to hearing from those people in weeks to come, too.
Okay. Well, with that, we'll close up this edition, the 2012 edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan. For Kurt Guxell and for Coach K, we'll see you next year.
Have a blessed
The following
New Year.
Presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.jaspertodayonline.com or go to iTunes to listen to podcasts of past shows. See you next week.